And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Monday, October 16th edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. My name is Joe Hagman. My co-host, who will be joining me very shortly, is Doug Hagman. And you are about to hear 3 hours of news and, 3 hours of news. And we're also live streaming on video, or we will be shortly, on Christians United Broadcasting Network. You can find it at www.homelandsecurityus1.tk, and that's also on Justin TV. We're going to get into a lot of news stories tonight as things continue to happen. Important, serious things continue to happen and occur. I got some emails today, and I want to thank everybody who sent me emails on stories. The first thing I want to get into here, millions to participate in FEMA drill next week. This is from today. This is an earthquake drill. Now, they have the map of the FEMA regions, the country broken down into 10 regions by FEMA. I just posted the article in the chat room. And it says, in Philadelphia, PA, on October 18th at 10:18 a.m., more than 1 million people across 5 states and the District of Columbia are scheduled to take part in the first ever Great Southeast Shakeout. The Shakeout is a regional earthquake drill in which participants simultaneously practice the recommended action during an earthquake. This action is known as drop, cover, and hold on, which means drop to the ground, take cover, by getting under a sturdy desk or table, and hold on until the shaking stops. The states of Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, the Virginias, Maryland, and the District of Columbia are encouraging their schools, businesses, organizations, government agencies, and communities, households to participate in this historic event. These states are being supported by the Central U.S. Earthquakes Consortium, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, known as FEMA, and many other local, state, and federal volunteer partners. These coordinate agencies, a similar drill across 9 central U.S. states, which had more than 2.4 million participants in February 2012. So they ran a similar drill, they're saying here. FEMA Region 3, the FEMA region we are located in Northwestern Pennsylvania, is acting regional administrator Robert Welch is encouraging individuals, organizations to register and join the Great Shakeout. We were reminded last year that earthquakes can and do happen anywhere. Everyone should make plans to take actions to ensure disasters do not become catastrophes, and this drill is an excellent start. Collectively, there will be more than 10.5 million people worldwide who are expected to participate in these shakeout drills on October 18th, which makes this the largest safety drill ever held. Interested citizens, schools, communities, businesses, etc. are encouraged to visit shakeout.org/southeast to pledge their participation in the drill. On the website, many resources are available to participants to use to plan their drills, including manuals, videos, audio broadcasts, earthquake scenarios, and more. And it just goes on to say there are many people, organizations, churches that will participate in the shakeout, and they are preparing for earthquakes. Now, what troubles me about this is the use of the 10 sections of how they divide America, how FEMA divides America into 10 regions or sections, And this is the Council of Governors. If you guys remember, we have an executive order, which is the Council of Governors, that divides us into 10 regions. We're going to get into this more and talk about more on the Israeli drill that is continuing to go forth on the 21st. And also, U.S. meningitis cases climbed to 205 as outbreak worsens every day. I have seen an article about the meningitis cases getting worse and worse and worse. We're going to get into that. Also, we have reports from a friend of the show, which we're still trying to get information to see what's going on with this, but we have reports of somebody who was able to fly to Hawaii from San Francisco, and they were pulled off the plane on their way to Okinawa in Hawaii when they were refueling, and the person was taken off the plane and told he was on the no-fly list, and he is now stranded in Hawaii. We're going to be trying to get more information on that, and my father is coming into the studio. He had to get ready real quick, and he's making hand gestures. While you're in here, can you shut that door? Because a lot of noise is coming from there. Thanks, guys, for hanging with us for our unprofessional beginning of the radio show. But I want to welcome you guys to call into the show. We're going to have open phones tonight at 661-244-9839. Last night we had Steve Quayle on, and the title of the show before we went live on air was The Web of Destruction, and the Spider Web of Destruction, about the webs we weave, and it turned into a whole different show, and so we retitled it. We have the archive up on our website. The YouTube video will be up tonight, and so look forward to that. If you did not listen, it was a great show. People were very happy, and it got from the emails we received, a lot of people really appreciated the show and got a lot out of it. So anybody who's interested in that, please go back and listen to that interview with Steve Quayle from yesterday. Also, tonight, Obama has some support from the porn industry. Now, this is despicable. I know not all political candidates can control where their money comes from or who gets the money. A lot of it, according to Drudge Report last time, 2% of Obama's donations were traceable. But with the U.S. political season close to reaching its November climax, any last-minute endorsements are likely welcomed and publicized by the presidential candidates, except maybe this one. The adult entertainment industry has overwhelmingly favored reelecting President Barack Obama to his second term, according to the results by a new poll by the X-rated social networking site. Now, what caught me and what caught Angie, marked in the chat room, she sent this to me, and she pointed out that the last paragraph in here is what is important. It says, the porn industry is flourishing because the Obama administration has given a green light to distribute hardcore porn to every man, woman, and child in America. And that is a very disturbing statement. I will post this article in the chat room also. Tardy, but finally here, my co-host, Doug Hagman, my father.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you very much for covering for me.
It was a rough start there.
I got to tell you, getting here was a little bit of a challenge. We're still kind of dark on the video right now, simply because if you would take a look at me at the moment, actually, we're both kind of sweating profusely. We've got the wires, cables, and actually some spare parts.
I think, did you just shave?
I did.
You're bleeding all over your neck.
Oh, well, I used a straight razor. Yeah. I tried.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the beginning of the show, the rustling you hear and the unorganization was, been tearing the studio apart, and we got it all back together.
The second one that we had, the Studio 2, as we called it, we took that, we gutted it, basically.
Yeah. Yep, and we got it back together today. We got everything perfect the way we want it. The only thing, the only reason that's stopping us from doing the video is
lighting. Lighting, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
And, we've got
It's just the configuration of the lighting.
Right.
We went out and bought this big studio lighting set. So we have bulbs shining on us, and we look like lobsters on the video, really.
I tell you, we feel like them, too. I guess we apologize for that, and we apologize for being...
So I guess we're not doing the video?
Then? Well, as soon as I can stop bleeding from my carotid.
Okay.
And if I get any on you, you know. And of course, I'll have to get a separate shirt that's in the closet over here. So, just to hang loose, if you don't mind, on that. But in the meantime, I heard you coming in. I heard on the speakers the various topics which you were going through.
Yeah.
And I think that all of them are important. And
some other stuff here too. New threats to riot if Obama loses election. Farrakhan also is warning forces trying to keep America.
Now, we've got to talk a little bit about that because we are following this on Twitter, the TweetDeck, using the TweetDeck and Twitter. We're following the comments, and here's something that I couldn't believe. And if I'm right on this, it's disturbing to its core. I think we are correct on this. Some of the rioting tweets are names that are anonymous type names, but what they're leading to are IP addresses, a lot of them out of Chicago. Okay, now you might say, well, how do you reconcile a Twitter or a tweet with an IP address? Well, you can do it, and you've got to do some digging, but it can be done. So there is some Chicago impetus. There's an impetus by people in Chicago or people using IP addresses in Chicago. And by the way, IP addresses can be hacked or can be spoofed. That's probably not the actual most correct way of saying it. But
no, you can proxy IPs.
Right. So it's very possible that we might not have traced it to its actual origins, but it seems like it could very well be connected to the campaign. Now, can we prove this? No. Can I prove it? No. But does it appear this way? Yeah, it kind of does. And if we can prove that out, that's rather significant. But again, it comes down to a block of addresses, and there's always a question as to whether whether or not this is actually coming from anyone connected with the campaign or Obama or whoever. It would be like somebody. How can I compare this? Let's say your neighbor, or even somebody in a van or a car using driving by, see that you have a wireless signal, and kind of hop onto your wireless signal. And then proceed to download pornography or child pornography or something, or do something illegal.
Yeah,
it could very well be.
Mentioned how easy it is to plant evidence,
yes.
Electronic
yes.
evidence on somebody else's computer, wireless device, whatever it may be. If it is sending and receiving information, things can be put on there without your knowledge.
It's really ridiculous.
Yeah,
in terms of, you have to be really careful. With this, you have to make sure your firewalls are up, and you have to, if you've got a wireless home network, I'll tell you what, folks, what we can do just from outside your house, if we were inclined to do so, could scare you to death. I mean, could scare the wits off you. We could set your. Let me just say this: we could set your side of your house, and if you have specific ports open, we could actually. Create a Word document on our computer in our surveillance van, send it to your printer. So you're sitting there at home. All of a sudden, something prints. You look over, and it says, hey, I'm watching you.
Yeah, you can turn the computer on or off. You can pretty much do anything. And as we...
Not that we ever do that, of course.
No, but as we talked last week about the... Remember the schools that gave out the laptops that led to the big thing about the school spying on the kids after... school hours at their houses with these government computers. Well, all these new laptops have the built-in cameras on them.
Right.
And, I had to get a new laptop. I had a three-year-old laptop that didn't have one on. Now my new one has the camera on. And I always forget it's there because I'm not used to it. And you have your old laptop has the camera on it.
Yes, and what do you see over that?
Electrical
tape over that.
Right.
That's right. Because, you know, again, anything that could be used to telegraph something out can also be used to watch. Okay, so if, for example, if you have a transistor radio, for example, that you are bringing a signal into your home, well, that very same device can be used to monitor. Instead of a speaker, it could act as a microphone. Now, can it be done on all devices? No, it can't be. But there are ways to, especially with the newer devices, and especially the iPhones, are very, and I'm sure there are people in our chat room or listening to this broadcast that are saying, you know what? I work for these companies. I know that. We can do that. We do that all the time. Or, you know, not listen, but to have a capability. You know, we know that the capability is there. So that said, you know, I would really urge everyone to watch.
A couple other things we're going to get into tonight. Obama says we got back every dime of the bailout. The CBO says the bailout will lose $24 billion. Also, important news here, Switzerland prepares army for Eurozone fallout.
Now, folks, understand that. Yeah. Understand the significance of that. They are preparing their military for this Eurozone fallout.
With anti-austerity protests across Europe resulting in civil unrest on the streets of Athens, Madrid, the European country famed for its neutrality is taking unusual precautions. Switzerland launched the military exercise Stabilo Du in September to respond to the current instability in Europe and to test the speed at which its army can be dispatched. The country is not a member of the Union or among the 17 countries that share the euro. Swiss newspaper Der Sonntag reported recently that the exercise centered around a risk map created in 2010.
Go figure.
Where army staff detailed the threat of internal unrest between warring factions.
So 2010.
Yeah, as well as the possibility of refugees from Greece, Spain, Italy, France, and Portugal.
Nice, nice.
So in 2010, the Switzerland Army wrote up plans for the possibility of internal unrest.
I understand that. Okay.
And refugees from Greece, Spain, Italy, France, and Portugal. Now, out of those five nations, in 2010, I think what was 2011 when the austerity measures really started? The second bailout for Greece.
For the Eurozone, 2011 would have been the so it was almost like they were anticipating something taking place like this.
And if people will listen to Nigel Farage from back in 2010, he talked about this.
Right.
It's crazy that they list the countries, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just like they continue to be downgraded, cut the retirement age raised, what do they call them, entitlements slashed, and that's going to continue. Also, Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan rips
yes.
GOP and Romney and Charlotte, and he says basically that what they want to do, it says, in marking the 17th anniversary of his 1995 Million Man March on Washington, Farrakhan was scheduled to talk about the economy and a Muslim blueprint for ending the need and want. A Muslim blueprint for ending the need and want.
It almost sounds like a communist type of marriage, doesn't it? Marriage with a communist. You've got that social part of, you know, the dictatorship of the I'm sorry, I can't even talk now. But you understand how the communist and socialist factions meld with the Islamic factions, and there you have it. And Louis Farrakhan is at the top. And by the way, I want to thank our listeners for sending us the there was a video that is circulating now about Obama, and it's a wonderfully narrated video making the connections between Obama and the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, the Jarretts, you know, Valerie Jarrett, Vernon Jarrett, and all this. Folks, if you haven't seen it, I don't have the computer that that has this particular video in the email from our listeners is in the other studio, so I don't have it here with me. But it's a fantastic video. But again, Louis Farrakhan, part of the Nation of Islam and the merging of Islam and the socialist element, the communist element, taking place right in front of our face.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Moving on here. this is not funny, but it is kind of funny in a way. Tea Party drops hardcore ad starring Obama phone lady. I'll post this in the chat. We talked about the Obama phone in great
detail. Yeah, I was a little bit concerned and curious as to why they did that. I understand the ostensible reasons or the obvious reasons why they said they did it, but I'm really wondering now what did they go on record by saying? Do we know why they dropped this?
Super PAC Tea Party Victory Fund is using the Obama phone lady in a new Ohio swing state aimed ad. The pitch for the video, which asked donors to help in spreading the video in the state, is written by the fund's chairman, Ken Blackwell, Ohio's former Secretary of State, via Slate.
Okay, this is it. That's right.
This is October surprise. We just need to get this ad on television today. Will you help us? This commercial is a microcosm of the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans want to create an environment where free people make their own choices and pursue their dreams. President Obama and Democrats want to create dependency on government and ensures that Americans will continue to rely on Washington from cradle to grave. Well,
but they're walking right into the
statement.
They're walking right into the trap, though, of that racist element.
Yeah.
To me, they're going to inflame a lot of the population by using that video in that fashion. Now, look,
seriously though, to say that Republicans want to create an environment where free people make their own choices and pursue their dreams,
well,
that is a far cry from the truth.
Republicans and Democrats,
bipartisanly have passed very illegal anti-privacy, anti-pro-security legislation that is against the Constitution, such as the NDAA, you know, the warrantless wiretapping, the Homeland Security, the whole DHS system. And Bush, he doubled welfare during his eight-year tenure. He doubled the number of people that were on welfare.
Bush did.
And, yes.
But
and
so
Obama also did, too. Yeah.
Right.
So they both play a role in this increasing spy state. And how bad is the spy state getting?
Well, the right-left paradigm is gone. I mean, that whole meme of the right-left, Republican, Democrat, that's all just theater. We know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a kid suspended and interrogated by a cop for a healthy – and I've never heard of this drink before.
Kombucha?
Kombucha
drink
in lunchbox. Folks in the chat room, have you ever heard about a kombucha drink?
I've never heard of that.
This drink apparently is similar to apple cider. Many restaurants enjoy it as a healthy alternative to beer and wine with one element missing, the alcohol. It says, while it contains 0.5% ethanol alcohol, classified as non-alcoholic, the alcohol that would be produced gets fermented into acetic acid, which keeps the alcohol down and keeps healthy benefits up. Now, a kid pulled this out of his lunchbox inside of when he was sitting down for lunch, and somebody saw this.
But how did they know about that?
Somebody in the school saw this, okay, and took it upon themselves to act like a cop, confiscate the drink, and report the acts to the principal. So this article goes on to say, this is so unfortunate because school staff can be so kind, some of the kindest, most giving people you'll ever meet, but the pressure and fear comes from on high. We see kids' lunches called non-nutritious and replaced with pink slime nuggets or a child arrested for a plastic knife. Something similar happened this week in Newport, California, when the lunch brigade noticed a boy's glass bottle safely inside a foam sleeve and confiscated his healthy kombucha beverage, which is comparable to apple cider. The next day the student was required to visit the vice principal's office
where
a uniformed cop was waiting to give him the third degree. The administration claimed the drink violated the no drugs and alcohol policy. The officer wrongly told the child that this drink was illegal and dangerous to mix with medicines or antibiotics. Then he asked the child if he was taking any medications. He interrogated and detained the child in the office the entire day, all without parental notification or representation. And it gets worse. But first, the kombucha drink is nothing more than a fermented tea with benefits of probiotics, enzymes, amino acids.
But isn't that the way that
then he says detoxifying and energizing?
Isn't that the way that the stills make their? Well, I guess there's a fermentation process involved in making apple cider too, right?
Yeah.
So okay.
It says
all right.
You may remember the FDA calling for the removal of this drink from the stores. This was standard FDA MO of creating a scare to kick healthy beverage companies in the pocketbook, and no doubt why Officer Daft incorrectly claimed it was illegal, because this drink is back on grocery stores shelves where anybody can purchase it, child, adult, doesn't matter. But the big problem here is this kid was suspended for 5 days by the vice principal.
Well, okay.
And there was a blogger who talked about this, and her name was Sarah of the Healthy Home Economist blog, and she wrote a story with the mother after the mother contacted her to get involved and talk to the vice principal. And she writes, most outrageously, the vice principal told the boy that he may have to transfer out of that school and that she was looking into it. She even tried to enroll him in an alcoholics class for teens. The boy ended up spending the entire day in the school office and was suspended for 5 days for violating school's drug and alcohol policy. The issue was also reported in the Newport Mesa School District, lest the school or the district deny the child was suspended or try to spin the story, but the boy did indeed sign a 5-day suspension form. Anyway, to make a long story short, they brought up the problem of the kid being questioned by a cop. I mean, you have somebody who brings in a beverage. I mean, that'd be like bringing a Rockstar energy drink to lunch and having a police officer there the next day to interrogate you the whole day.
Then yeah,
you get a
suspension. And here's why this is so important. It's not really the drink. It's not really about the child. It's not really about what that drink is. I mean, it's obviously legal. It's non-alcoholic. It's arguably beneficial. But
no, if kids can buy it off grocery store shelves,
right.
There should be no problem.
But here's the real reason why we're talking about this. And you might think, well, geez, why waste your time talking about this silly conversational stuff? I just want to share with the listeners what we learned today from a school in northeastern Ohio. This is an elementary school. And this hit close to home. This was a friend of ours who
family, pretty much.
Extended family. And here's the situation, because this speaks to all what's taking place all across the United States. And again, the drink, not significant by itself, not really. But when you start getting into the larger picture, and here's the situation. You've got a 5-year-old child that is going to a kindergarten class in northwestern Ohio. I'm not going to name the school district. I'm not going to get involved into even the area. Just say northwestern Ohio. And because this is an evolving story as well, and perhaps we can have one of the parents on to talk about this. But a 5-year-old boy goes to kindergarten or preschool. Yeah, kindergarten. It wouldn't be preschool. It would be kindergarten. And throughout the last week or so, there was another boy the same age that was attempting to kiss the 1 5-year-old boy, making very, very unwanted advances toward the young man, okay, toward the 5-year-old boy.
This is basically the story.
Climbing on the lap of this child and trying to kiss.
Two kids were sitting there, yeah. This one boy was acting very inappropriate, trying to kiss another boy on the cheek and hug him. And the one boy said, stop. Stop touching me. Stop trying to do what you're doing. Leave me alone.
Correct. And what happened was
The kid didn't stop.
Right, thank you. The kid didn't stop, and the we'll say the abusee or the person or the young child that was being the victim of the unwanted advances. And I find myself just shaking my head when I'm talking about this. Punched the other kid, the other young boy.
And we're talking 5 years old.
So right. I'm not talking about, you know, beating him up or just, you know, just kind of touching or punching the other child. Now, obviously, that was not necessarily the right way to handle this subject. And all, and I should add this, the 5-year-old child, the victim in this case will say, of the unwanted advances had attempted to say, look, you know, I don't want this. Please leave me alone. Don't be doing this. I think once or twice, according to the initial reports anyway, had notified the teacher and said, hey, you know, Jimmy over here is trying to kiss me. Please make it stop. The teacher was ineffective, and of course that resulted in a physical confrontation between the two 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking 5-year-olds.
Now listen to this.
Now here's where the story gets really twisted. The both got called into the principal's office. The story, as I related it, essentially was told to the principal. The principal called the young boy who did the punching, his parents, or his, what was it, mother or father? Father, because the mother was out of the picture, apparently. Right?
Mother.
I'm sorry.
It was
sorry.
The mother.
The one that was out of the picture was the person, the young boy doing the kissing, the mother, I think. Anyway, make a long story short, the boy that actually punched the other young boy for making unwanted sexual advances, and of course, at 5 years old, you don't really, you know, it's not an unwanted sexual advance. It's something totally different. But that said, the parents and the child were forced to go through, the only thing I could describe it as, homosexual sensitivity training.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had
the child.
Yep.
At 5 years old, yep, had to go through homosexual sensitivity training.
Yeah, because it was a hate crime.
Yes. Yes. Now,
but it wasn't a crime because nobody was charged. But mentality that the school took was as though it was a crime, and because there was a physical, you know, abuse or contact, or basically somebody was defending themselves from being molested. I mean, we're talking about 5-year-olds here.
Okay. Yes, that really don't have the conception or understanding of what, you know, homosexuality really is.
Well, that kid will now.
Yeah, absolutely. Compliments of the public school district who enforced this program. Again, not only on the parent, or not only on the child, but the parent as well. So they were forced, they were threatened with expulsion, or the young child was threatened with expulsion if there was noncompliance to this class or this sensitivity training.
Yeah.
And of course, what they did was they brought in outside counselors. They brought in you know, people that explained graphically explained the process of homosexual acts to the young child.
Yeah, just terrible. This country's coming
okay.
to. They made it illegal in California to
that's right.
To counsel a confused teen into heterosexuality. You are not allowed to mention heterosexuality, apparently, to people who are teens or who are confused about it in California. It is now illegal.
Right.
You must only teach them about homosexuality.
And I was watching the comments here in the chat room. No, the child that was actually the victim of the punching, or the child that was making the unwanted advances, was not punished. But I from what I understand, that child was forced or was talked to, whatever that means, had a sit down with the principal and about correct behavior. And,
yeah.
You know, so he was handled with kid gloves, pun intended, while the other child was really put through the mill. And it's not right. But we're getting reports about grade school children and as young as 8 having to go through this indoctrination of homosexuality.
Yeah. Starting off at the program, the first article I mentioned was the millions to participate in the FEMA drill next week on October 18th. And with that, I want to thank Lucy for sending me this email.
Lucy's great. She sends us a lot of information.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dorothy.
or Dorothy. Dorothy, too.
Lucy does send good information.
And Marianne and the you folks are terrific. You keep us on track.
And we'll post this on the website or do something with this. We're going to have to. These are job openings for positions qualifying for mass care services from FEMA.
There's something going on here.
FEMA has released for public comment three guidance documents on mass care job titles and qualifications. The guidance provides a standardized set of criteria for use by the whole community when delivering mass care services. The job title qualifications will also serve as an intern guidance to support mass care opportunities or operations across the nation. They are State Mass Care Coordinator, Shelter Manager.
Now think about what these mean.
Field Kitchen Manager. The job titles and qualifications were developed by a mass care support team made up of subject matter experts. The team suggests guidance on the job description, education, training, experience, and physical medical fitness, currency, professional and technical licenses, and certifications for each of these positions. Additionally, FEMA has released a public comment to mass care typed resources. The resources will serve as an interim guidance to support this mass care professional services across the nation. They include field kitchen unit and shelter management team. The mass care support team suggested functions, components, capabilities, and other specifications for each resource.
Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, based on everything that I've researched here especially this past weekend, we spent a lot of time researching a couple of different scenarios that we're looking at, perhaps that could be on the horizon here. This is important because, look, this ties directly to feeding and sheltering people that can't do it for themselves. So what are we looking at from this? What would you extrapolate from that? Well, one could argue that
they're preparing for some mass.
No power and no food.
Mass casualties. We talked about this last week in Israel. They are doing mass preparedness, casualty preparedness for an earthquake drill. The home front organization, which is the first time they've ever done anything that was not military based, and now
but that's the excuse they're using,
right?
That's the ostensible reason for all this, which
right.
we know it's not, but okay.
But also, at the same time, we've had these drills come and go in the past here in America without any problems. You remember the EAS drills,
right?
They talk about it in this article. Last year they had the same kind of drills, or earlier this year in February, they had the same kind of drills. But this is called the shakeout drill. And what bothers me about this is it's at October 18th, 2012 at 10:18 a.m. Which that time? Why that exact time? I don't know. Maybe it was because if that was the same exact time the earthquake hit back in August of 2011 in Washington, D.C., I'm not sure. But they're doing that. Israel's doing the drills on the 21st. Everybody seems to be on this preparedness kick, mass casualty preparedness. And this is of big concern. Also, in the chat room, I want to thank, Gina, for posting this article from Breitbart. Obama administration considers October surprise on the Libya attack. And
exactly what does that mean, though?
Well, I'll do this today. 2 weeks ago, Breitbart News reported that the Obama administration was contemplating on an airstrike in Libya, a move former CIA official told us would be criminal, for it lacks a forethought and its dire political consequences.
So what he's trying to do, or what he's looking to do, is expand the theater of war yet into Libya. I mean, we already...
Right. We know he is...
We're there by proxy.
Yeah, we already know that they funded the rebels in Libya to overthrow Gaddafi. They gave them weapons. They gave al-Qaeda weapons, money. They gave them the whole country. In turn, a central bank was set up, and the gold was removed from Libya. Well, now, today the Associated Press said that the White House has put special operations strike forces on standby and moved drones into the skies above Africa, ready to hit militant targets from Libya to Malai, if the U.S. investigators can find the al-Qaeda-linked group responsible for the death of U.S. ambassador in Libya. The article even mentions that the administration has to weigh whether the short-term payoff of being able to claim retribution against al-Qaeda is worth the risk that such strikes would be ineffective and rile governments in the region.
Now, if I can, ladies and gentlemen, if we can, can we claim a little bit of credit for kind of giving you folks a heads up right after this what this was all about? I mean, it's not really about credit, but it's about the warning as to what's going on.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that we had some little play in this, because there was also things happening behind the scenes.
Yes.
Okay.
We went over those things on Friday.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we did.
And we touched a nerve, and that was from the September 24th article from Benghazi to Barack, which you could find on HomelandSecurityUS.com.
Right, and I think what we're seeing now is the complete unraveling of this covert operation, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, with that, look, Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you. Go ahead, and if you want to plug into the phone lines.
Yeah, I'm going to answer a call here. It looks like somebody's calling in with Skype, which they don't give an option to talk to the host. Guys, give us a call if you want to talk. At 661-244-9839.
We got plenty of news, by the way, to cover. More news. Things of a world global war nature. So, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah,
John.
And when you call, I think you press 1 to speak with the host, or it'll show up as such. Timothy, I think on Skype here, we're going to go to you. Timothy, you're on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Are you there? Tim.
Yep.
Hey, Tim, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, if you can get a little bit closer to your microphone, that'd be great.
Oh, okay. Just an internal mic. Yeah, I'm just listening to the show. Very good show. I listen every night. So.
Okay.
I'm just going to sit here and listen and.
Oh, okay. Not a problem. Not a problem. Thank you, my friend, for
okay.
listening. And we've got a lot more news to cover about the world affairs. And I think you are going to be surprised at what's going on really behind the scenes with respect to troop movements and the setup of military assets overseas that you're not hearing on the mainstream media. We're going to be getting into that quite a bit this show.
New threats to riot if Obama loses election.
Yeah, and Alex Jones reported on this today, right?
Yeah.
Is this where? Okay.
And there is a...
We've been kind of going back and forth with InfoWars, a dialogue, comparing notes, if you will. And is that Paul Watson?
Yeah.
From him? Okay, yeah.
It says, despite the issue receiving national media attention, Obama supporters continue to threaten to riot if Mitt Romney wins the presidential election, raising a prospect of civil unrest if Obama fails to secure a second term. The new threats continue to dominate Twitter, and the vast majority make no reference to press coverage of the issue over last week, illustrating the fact that they are a legitimate expansion of how many Obama voters plan to respond if Romney comes out on top, and not merely a reaction to media hype. An InfoWars.com story written by Michael Snyder was picked up by the Drudge Report over the weekend and has since gone viral, documenting how Twitter was flooded with messages from Obama supporters threatening to riot if he was not elected.
And let me expand on this a little bit. We found earlier in the program, tonight's program, I mentioned we found some digital fingerprints to Chicago. We also found some digital fingerprints that arguably could be tied to the, shall we say, the Republican camp as well. Now, obviously, folks, there would be reasons to make it look like all of the blame is placed at the feet of the Democrats. And again, it's all theater anyway, but think of the implications of that.
Yeah. Moving on here, U.S. meningitis cases climbed to 205 as outbreak worsens. Fungal meningitis tied to a contaminated steroid has affected 205 people in a worsening outbreak, an infection that has killed 15 in the U.S., officials say. 14 states have been affected by the outbreak. The CDC and prevention said on Saturday it had reported 198 cases nationwide. The situation is particularly bad in Tennessee, where 53 cases, including 6 deaths, have been reported. Michigan follows with 41 cases, Virginia with 34. Other states reported cases include Florida, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, and Texas. The situation took a turn for the worse In a little more than a week, on October 6th, they had 64 cases, the CDC did, including 7 deaths. Almost 14,000 people in 23 states have received these contaminated doses of steroid, typically injected into the spine. And I know we've talked about this at least three times.
There's something not right with this, folks.
Yeah.
It does, and it's not at the pharmacy level. It's not at that pharmacy level. I cannot.
Right.
It's not there.
We're going to go back to the phone lines as Sheila is on hold. We're going to go to you in a sec, Sheila. Guys, if you want to call in to comment on anything we've covered so far, last night's show, or anything we haven't covered yet, call us at 661-244-9839. With that, we're going to go to Sheila. Sheila, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All righty.
Now I'm all mad over that situation we were just talking about with these little boys.
Yeah.
Did we rile you up on this one?
Yes. These parents yank your kids out of the classrooms. It's outright abuse.
Yeah.
Yep.
What they're doing is abuse. Get your kids out of the classroom. I've done it twice, and they listen when you do it.
Yeah, there is really no faith. I have no faith left in public schools. They are doing everything in their power to treat kids pretty much as prisoners and in tools like the Hitler Youth and the indoctrination. Passing laws to say what you can and can't counsel them on, taking Jesus out of schools. Taking any Bible teaching out of schools while promoting homosexuality and abortions. It's crazy.
And Sheila, let me just add this. We heard about this after the fact. So everything that we talked about, including the post-incident counseling, was already completed. So we had it was like somebody just telling us what happened. So, But I wouldn't have stood for it.
No. There was no way. My son was a senior in high school, and there was absolutely no control over all the kids that create all the grief. They stay in the classrooms, disrupt, And this went on all through school and whatnot. And then when Matt hit his senior year, the very first day of school, they had the Carney's Point cops here at the school, and the parents were never warned about it. And they decided to bring down their hand on the kids, and Matt got to witness our cops slamming kids up against the wall outside of school because they weren't moving fast enough. It totally upset him because he wasn't used to seeing it. And after about a month, he kept coming home from school, and I said, that's it. So I called the school, and I talked to his counselor over there, and I told him, What are you doing? This ain't no way you treat the kids. You get the troublemakers out in the story. Then I got on the phone and called the super. In the meantime, I had Matt enrolled in a school here in Pennsville. And his counselor asked me, he says, well, where's Matt now? I says, he's enrolling in another school. He ain't staying there.
Right.
And I'm totally shocked that Carney's Point cops would even do such a thing to these kids. I'm glad they didn't put their hands on my kid, but these parents need to wake up, get your kids out of the class, tell your mom, I want my money used in a private school, Christian school, whatever. But they don't have to take that crap. They don't have to take it.
No, and nor should they. We can talk about this and really get into this.
Well, it's up to mom and dad, Doug. It's up to the mom and dad. My grandson came home. He's a junior in high school here in Pennsylvania. And he said, Grandmom, he says, the lunches are just crap. And I said, take your lunch.
Right.
You don't like what they're giving you over there, you pack your lunch and take it. And that's what he's been doing. But so far, they haven't had somebody hanging over them looking at what they're eating. I've already told my kids, they don't even want to go on that route with me. No way.
No.
They don't want to go there. Stay away from these kids. Stay away from them.
Sheila, I agree, and I have to tell you, if every parent reacted with that constitution, and said, look,
exactly,
I'm not going to do this, if every parent did that, you would not have this well, this bullying by the school administration. Yeah, you would have the parents having a better say in this, but you know what, Sheila, the parents today, they're so busy working, you know, two jobs, or and I know that's not an excuse. I'm not trying to make excuses, but isn't it interesting how everything is kind of how the masses are being, I don't know, preoccupied with trying to make a living and trying to pay for things, and they're not taking care of you know, what's really truly important.
That is no way that I would be that busy, that chronic crap would go on. No way, no how. It would never happen. I've already told my kids, as long as I'm living in this house, the school is not going to do this kind of stuff to my grandkids. I've told both of them. You know, as long
That's
as
good.
I'm living here and I'm breathing, it ain't going to happen, because I'm going to be over there quick.
That's very
the
good.
The parents have got a right to stand up and speak up for your kids. No way they would ever tell me that I've got to go take my kid to see a counselor over a homosexual. These kids don't even know what that word means.
Not at that age.
They don't know what it means. Huh?
No. Not at that age.
And that's something we discussed, you know, before we were going on air, wondering how that they could have five-year-olds introduce them to this. I mean, to take to the measure of making a student go to sexuality sensitivity
it's
class.
It's not right.
It's ridiculous. It's outright ridiculous. You know, one of my granddaughters, she's in first grade, and this is right when this crap was starting. And they wanted to take her in a class and put them in a no-bullying class to teach them not to bully kids of homosexuals and lesbians. And Kathy, my daughter, called me and she told me what they wanted to do, and I said, absolutely not.
You never
heard the word, you don't do it. You don't do that, and she didn't.
Well, Sheila,
they're planting it in her mind.
All right. Now, were there any consequences? In other words, you helped her stand up to say no. Now, were there any consequences to the child?
They backed off.
Okay, good.
They backed off.
And see, folks,
you've got to challenge them.
Yes.
Legally, they can't. What they're doing is illegal. And as long as people keep letting them do it, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Same thing with the airports. You know, keep doing it. They're going to keep adding it on. And they're going to wake up one day and they're going to be able, you know, you're not going to have new freedom. But when it comes to these kids, mom, dad, you got a voice. Speak up. No way, no how. They don't have that legal right to do it, and I would dare them to challenge me.
I love it. I love it. We have to take a stand.
Yeah, if people would have...
Exactly. And if
had the intensity
ahead,
you
Jeff.
Do, Sheila, the world would be a much better place.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I've been in situations where there was alcohol involved and whatnot, and parents giving it to the kid. I mean, hell hath no fury like a mom scorning, and I'm one of them. Don't mess with my family, period.
I wouldn't get in your way. I wouldn't get in any mom's way.
And we need more people to stand up for what's right, to stand up and say,
well,
look.
People think, I think they think they don't have a leg to stand on. Oh, yes, you do. You got two of them. You got a mouth. Speak up. Tell them, ain't doing it. Ain't going there. You do whatever you think you got to do, but you ain't doing it with mine, period. End of story, out of classroom.
That's right. And also, you know, the schools with the vaccines, telling parents that it's a law that they must have their children vaccinated against things like chicken pox, where, you know, it's just ridiculous. Still get chicken pox.
I got a 2-year-old granddaughter here, you know, and she's already been pumped full of crap. And, you know, I tell the kids, don't be letting them pump the poison in her, you know, and they think they got no choice. Or she can't go to school. And it's nothing but a sham. But, you know, and they won't let them into school, but the illegals can. You know, and that's where it originated from. All these diseases was cured, you know, we didn't have all this crap before, you know, and it's nothing but a money maker, you know, but the parents need to wake the hell up and get the kids out of the classroom if they're going to do this stuff. No. No, no, no. They're trying to implant this stuff in these little kids' mind. You know, and it ain't right. And as far as FEMA and the earthquake whatever over here, let me tell you something. You know what earthquake's going to happen is when Jesus' feet hits the Mount of Olives and there's a massive earthquake, it'll be FEMA heading for the shelters and kicking the people out.
That's right.
How about that?
You're 100% correct, Sheila.
That's right.
Always.
I need to back off.
Any other outrages you wanna speak on?
Nope. Just people wake up. Good. Even grandparents, get up, get involved, nip it in the bud right now.
I love it. We need, like Barney Fife, we need to do some bud nipping.
I love Barney Fife.
I love it. Nip it in the bud. Nip it.
I hope I didn't blast your ear off.
Nah.
No,
that's okay, my friend. Well,
okay.
Well, thank you so much for weighing in on this, because it is an outrage, and you know, we all need to take a stand and say no, not today, not now, not ever. And
that's right.
We need to get stay together. But thanks for your call.
Okay.
All right.
God bless.
Folks, I'm going to post a link. I think I could do this in the chat room. If you haven't heard about this, Dana Loesch.
Is this the conservative host?
Yes.
Yes. Who was groped by the TSA. And I want to this is important because she was taken into a room. Her husband was with her videotaping it, but he was not allowed to come into the room with her, which is not policy with the TSA, as far as I understand it.
Well, no, exactly. And here's the story. Dana Loesch, she's an outspoken conservative, Tea Party Republican, among other things. She's a talk show host. Let me just back up. I'm not sure if she's a Tea Party Republican. She's conservative. She's outspoken. She's got her own radio show. And she was flying on October 14th. She was flying out of Phoenix. Let me see here. TSA agents in Terminal 4 at the Phoenix Airport forced her into a private room without her husband, without witnesses, without being able to videotape or record the process, where she was allegedly randomly selected, pulled out of a line after passing through the primary screening process for additional screening. Now, at some point, supposedly, an alarm sounded after her hands were swabbed. An alarm was sounded for explosives.
If you read, I got a audio clip for something. I don't know if it's in this article that you're going to read.
I'm not reading.
Her hands were full of, what does it say?
Well, it was explosive
residue.
Her hands
were full of nitrates?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And,
which, well, that's the only, really one of the only.
This has to do with the molecular.
Right. Yeah. I got that. I guess it's really important for people to understand what, when you are in an airport and you get your hands swabbed, number one, the level of false positives from that is tremendous, simply because of what they're testing for. They're testing for nitrates, nitrate-based explosives. So there are certain things that have nitrates in them, and I'm not going to go into the whole list, but this results in an abnormal number of false positives. Now, you would think that the TSA agents would know this, DHS would know this, and I believe that they do, and I believe that this is done purposely. Now, there's two converging stories here. There's the public story of this Dana Loesch being taken into a private room. They shut the door, and they proceed to sexually molest her. That's the only way I could describe this. Okay, her whole account, if you want to search, use the internet to search, you can read her Twitter account of the incident. You can also watch her husband videotaping her up to the point where they take her into this room and shut the door. Okay, now I've got a couple of problems with this personally.
Right.
Number one, my wife would not have gone into that room. That door would not have been shut.
Nope.
And the you know, hey, I don't care what happens, you're not doing that. Now, why she went into the room, she does explain certain things on, you know, through her tweets, but it's still not acceptable to me.
And they have the right to have them use the back of their hand. The passenger can ask for the TSA screener to use the back of their hand.
Right.
And this lady used the front of their hand.
Right. And if you look, okay, now the other, that's the story as it stands, okay? And she's got the YouTube video of the incident. I think there's a couple hundred views. It was posted 18 hours ago from this broadcast. But folks, here's the problem, and here's the converging, the other part of the converging aspect of the story. If you look at certain documentation from the TSA and from DHS, from Janet Napolitano, from Mr. Pistoli, who heads the TSA, their hiring processes right now are going after people who are, they're making a huge deal right now for this gender biased equality or gender equality or sexually oriented equality. In other words, minus the PC speak, they're going after lesbians, homosexuals to increase the number, to show what a diverse group of employees there is. So if you look at the videotape, and I'm not saying this woman that took this Dana Lesh into the room was, I'm not commenting on her sexual orientation. However, it appears to me that this is part of the process where you've got this desire, inherent desire among the employees to take these women and men and children into the back room. And it's being sanctioned by the Napolitanos and the Pistolis of the TSA and DHS. That's the other part of the story that's important.
Yeah.
And it's part of this communist, and I have to say this is part of the, and Joe, you said this about the school thing earlier today.
And I have this up here.
It's part of the communist goals that were read into the congressional record in 1963, and no one wants to talk about this.
Yeah.
They're all just focused on the TSA and the minor issues, but this is pervasive throughout our society, from security to education to all of this.
Yeah, and here's just a few of the communist goals read into congressional record on 1963. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Infiltrate churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools and on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state.
Yeah, all of these, the religion, the socialized religion, the socialized, of course, medicine, but the education and the security are the two huge things.
Discredit the family as an institution, encourage promiscuity, easy divorce. And it, like I said, it goes on. We'll get into that more later. We're going to go to the phone.
Let's go. Yeah, and we're close. We're actually late for the break, but let's go ahead and take a break.
Yeah, we are late for the break, and we're going to have somebody calling in, hopefully. Somebody's going to be calling in what I mentioned at the beginning of the show. They flew to Hawaii from San Francisco. Their wife is in Okinawa in the military, Navy. And
right.
This man was pulled off the flight from San Francisco to Okinawa at a fuel stop in Hawaii and told he was on a no-fly list, being stranded now in Hawaii. He will be joining us shortly. Now we're going to go to the phones. Vernon.
Better than Cleveland, right?
Yeah. Vernon, you're on the air with the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Vernon. You're up, man.
Vernon.
Are you there, my friend? Did we disconnect you? Vernon, are you there?
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Now we can.
Now we do.
Hey, I'm sorry. I had my mic mute. I didn't realize it.
All right.
Okay. You know what, Doug? I wish when we were in school and they took the Bible out of school, one woman petitioned the federal courts. And I wish we had 10 Sheilas, because that would have not happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
No. You're exactly right, Vernon.
You know, with that said, there's more to it than just the school. Here's a train of thought. We talk about what's going on in the schools. and how they're desensitizing the kids. We talk about the TSA agents and what they're doing, and everything right across straight across the board is designed for one thing, to desensitize us, to say that you have no power. We could do what we want to do with you and your kids. And it won't be until that the American people wake up, stand up, and let their voice be heard. Until that happens, they're going to win.
Yeah, yeah, of course. People refuse to stand up for themselves.
Is it too late now, Vernon? Vernon, can we do it now? Is it at this late hour too late to do this, to stand up?
To me, as far as I'm concerned, no, it's not too late for it to be done. But how much time do we have between now and then to wake the American people up? That's the problem.
That's true. You know, and everyone listening to this program live tonight, I'd be interested in your take on this as well. You know, can we change it? Can we change things? Realizing that we're short on time. And Vernon, we are. We're short. We're desperately short on time.
Well, to the believer, you know, we're looking for the King of Kings. Okay, what is going to transpire once the rapture takes place? All the ills that we talk about is simultaneously going to come to the earth.
Right.
That's when the enemy has full dominion of the earth. Okay, our job is to try to wake up as many as we can to say, hey, here's the good news. Jesus Christ lives. All right? Now, that's the good news. Here's the bad news. If you don't accept him, this is what you're going to go through. So now you need to look at what they are doing so you can try to minimize the poison that's going to come across this land. Or at least educate yourself to be able to protect yourself to some degree.
Yeah. Vernon.
Well, right, look, I agree. Go ahead, Joe.
We got a couple of callers and we got a guest calling in.
Now, I just wanted to bring that up, and then I'm going to put a link into the room as well, Joe, because you spoke of Switzerland and how they're preparing. Throughout the 30 nations, a new movement is propped it up, very much like Occupy did back last year.
Yep.
And it was out for months before anyone in the United States knew about it. Well, here's yet another one, and I'll put the link in the room. You can check it out. Here's yet another one that the United States don't know about, and this involves 30 countries.
All right, my friend.
All right.
All right. Well, God bless. Thank you so much for your call, and I got to tell you, Vernon, as always, you're a wise man, and
conspiracy files.
Conspiracy files on BTR.
Well, yep. Right here on Blog Talk.
And you know what, Vernon? We need to. In fact, I'll tell you what. We're gonna just hold off the break until the bottom of the hour. But you know what, Vernon? What we need to do is we all need to get together. We really need to lead by example, and
right.
I think everyone listening to the show, again, as I always say, is a leader. And I think that what we need to do is show other people that, you know, we're not going to be pushed around. We're not going to be bullied by the system.
Right. And can I make one more suggestion?
Yeah, sure.
You know, if everyone stood up, okay, let's say we had soap and people, and everyone raised their voice. What happened to soap and people? It went on the back burner. If everyone decided, I'm not flying on Monday, I'm not flying on Tuesday, how much money would the airlines lose? If everyone decided to take their money out of the banking system, how much would they lose?
Right.
How quick can we change this system?
But you know, you've got the an apathetic populace right now, and it's like trying to turn a luxury cruise ship on the ocean. You know, you need a wide berth and a lot of room and a lot of energy, and it's. I'm just afraid we don't. I'm afraid we don't have that.
We don't. I was just throwing it out there. We could have done it a long time ago.
And we should have. Yeah.
Again, it's too late in the sense that trying to wake up the American people, in particular, because the world around us, they know what's going on.
Right.
They're well informed, and they are well acting out. The United States, they can't happen here. They can't do that to us.
Well, they're going. Well, they're already doing it, actually. So.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and hit my alarm clock and hit snooze and go back to sleep. All right, guys. Look, I'm not going to hold you up.
All right, my friend. God bless you. You take care, my friend.
All right, you too.
All right. Vernon, that's Conspiracy Files on BTR, and he's a good friend of the program. And Joe, let me know when we've got – now, you're telling me that we've got the individual that was involved in this
at the beginning of the show.
List?
Yeah.
Okay.
At the beginning of the show, I mentioned this. Okay.
We're not going to give his name out, but again, the story is this. He was flying – he flew from San Francisco – he was going to Okinawa. He was held up in Hawaii. They landed in Hawaii for a refueling, to refuel, ostensibly to refuel. This is the information we're getting. And at that point, he was escorted from the plane by police guard. And
yes, San Francisco.
Told. Well, yeah.
To Hawaii.
Yes.
Flew fine.
Yeah, they let him on the plane in San Francisco, and it wasn't until Hawaii or someplace over the Pacific where, hey, this guy's on a no-fly list.
And, we've
and
all,
this guy has got no clue, ostensibly.
Right. We've all seen children who have been not allowed to fly because their names have been popped up on the no-fly list. This has happened several times. So... hopefully we can find out
given the fact that he's out, and again this on the heels of Dana Loesch for in the TSA, this man is apparently is a very outspoken critic of the TSA, a very outspoken patriot, a very outspoken man who for the Constitution, for the Bill of Rights, very anti kind of a don't tread on me poster person, if you will.
Yeah.
Does this play into the mix, or is there something else going on? Look, we haven't researched this 100%. We don't know.
We got the word right before the show.
Right.
And we were waiting for him to call in.
So we're going to ask him some hard questions.
Yeah, he's going to be calling in any time. You got the area code. We're going to take one call. In the meantime,
we're watching on the switchboard. So
area code 304, you are live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey guys, it's Samantha, Mountain Girl South again.
Hey Samantha.
I just thought I'd call and tell y'all I sent Doug an email a while back, but I hear he's behind on his email. But it's the newspaper article that my husband found on a local paper here in West Virginia, the Register Herald, and it says lawmakers seek input from veterans, and what it is about a survey that they want the veterans to fill out, and they claim the legislature wants to know what works and what doesn't work for service members in all corners of our state, because you know how they've proven how much they really care about the veterans. The survey is some 150 pages in length. And it asks these questions that I have no idea what they think is going to make them serve the veterans better. It says veterans are asked to identify the types of telephone owned, such as landline, basic cell phone, the so-called smartphone, and computer. Do the veterans have a valid driver's license, passport, immigration or naturalization papers, medical insurance card, a last will or living will? How does that help them serve veterans better? I don't know. And then it says, in the spiritual arena, the questionnaire asks veterans in which category do they mostly identify themselves, Protestant, Catholic, historical, black churches, Mormon, Jehovah's Witnesses, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, Unitarian, New Age, agnostic, atheist, spiritual but not religious, or free thinker. How do you feel about God and country, the survey poses? Among answers are, America is a better country than most other countries. My time in the military strengthened my loyalty to America. When I have problems, I can find spiritual peace within me. I can feel the presence of God in my life. Another question digs into personal relationships with these types of questions. If a friend of a coworker got in an award, I would feel proud. I rely on myself most of the time. I rarely rely on other people. It is my duty to take care of my family even when I have to sacrifice what I want. I feel good when I work together with others. Within the past year, the survey asked how many hours veterans spent helping a neighbor, a food assistance group, a stranger in the community, a youth sports organization, or a disaster relief effort, or a church, theatrical, or political group. The questionnaire also seeks to know how often veterans vote in local and state elections and the extent of their education. I mean, I don't understand how they think that is going to help them serve veterans better. Yeah, I'm very suspicious of this.
Okay,
but they try to bribe them. They try to bribe them because if you reply to this, your name will get dropped into a that says not only is the data they supply helpful to key lawmakers, but it can be personally rewarding as well. Participants are entered into a drawing for Visa cash gift cards ranging from $100 and $50 ones. Yeah, right.
Do you have that in front of you? That survey in front of you?
Yeah. Well, the article. I'll paste it in the chat right now.
Okay.
There you go. I put it in there.
Okay. All right. Let me look at this. Because this sounds okay. Thank you for doing that. All right. Wow. Okay.
It's pretty intrusive. I don't understand how they think that's going to help them serve veterans better, because I don't really think they give two cents about the veterans. I think they want to know, they want to size them up to see what kind of threats they'll be and how they can get at them. That's what I think.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to follow up on this because of its the possibilities and especially the timing. I'm going to follow up on this, and I'll try to get some answers for everyone to, by tomorrow's program, because this is ridiculous. Wow. And now I want to thank you very much for sending me that. But, yes, there's nothing mandatory about this, is there? I mean, there's no contingency.
Oh, no. My husband said he ain't going to – no way is he going to fill that out.
All right.
No, I don't believe he got the postcard either. It says they sent out 8,000 postcards, but I don't believe he got one.
Interesting.
But no.
All right. Well, I'll tell you, I appreciate you drawing our attention to that, and thank you. Yes, I'm woefully behind on emails, and I'm trying to catch up. And holy cow. But thank you so much for telling us about this, Samantha. We're going to cut you loose and go to our newsmaker line, if you will. Thank you, Samantha, very much for your call.
All right, you're welcome.
Have a
good
night.
Take care.
We're going to go to our newsmaker line now, and I say that because that's, you know, pretty much what this is.
And Wade.
Can we address him? Okay. With us on the Hagman and Hagman Report is, we're just going to call him Wade. That's his first name. And this is a gentleman that has been selected, apparently. He hit the airline lotto. He's now stuck on the island, or one of the Hawaiian islands, on his way to Okinawa to see his military wife, who is my understanding she's a lieutenant in the Navy. And Wade was flying from San Francisco to Okinawa with a refueling stop in Hawaii, at which time they escorted him off the plane and essentially made him a permanent fixture of the Hawaiian Islands. Wade, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for your call. Wade, I'm gonna ask you, just start us off here. What's going on? What happened to you? Describe what happened to you.
Well, I've been planning a couple of months to go see my wife in the middle of her deployment, or shortly after the middle of her deployment. We organized it where she had some time that she'd be available to take leave as things were winding down at the end of the fiscal year. And we scheduled it so I would drive to her parents' house outside San Francisco and catch a military flight from Travis Air Force Base to Kadena Air Base in in Okinawa. And we had a refueling stop over in Pickham Air Base in Hawaii, and we had some plane troubles starting out from Travis, so we were delayed initially about 4.5 to 5 hours. I had registered for Space A the day before. I checked in as soon as check-in was available at 0400, participated in roll call at 0630. So from 0630 to wheels up, they had every opportunity to say, you can't be on that plane, you need to get off. And nothing happened, never heard anything. Wheels up, 5.5, 6 hours later, we touched down in Hawaii. They were refueling the airplane. We told there was going to be a three-hour ground stop while they refuel and everything else. And then about 2 hours into it, they got everybody to go back through security and stand by for the bus. We all got on the bus. We're getting ready to head out to the airplane, and they said it was going to be 45 more minutes. They were still fueling. So we went back into back to the secure area where we were sitting at, and then I was approached by an airman that asked me to come with him. There was an issue that I had to discuss with Homeland Security and Customs. And I went with him. It was just some sort of mix-up.
Hey, hold on. Are you playing right now?
Yeah, I'm actually walking across Pearl Harbor Navy Base right now back to my hotel room.
Okay. Because okay, you
I'll
sound
be in
like
a witness area here in a minute.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Wait.
Okay, can you hear me?
Ah, that's much better.
Okay, good. So, continuing, I got pulled off the aircraft, was asked to meet with the customs officials. I was brought around to where the customs officials were, and there was nobody in the office. It was locked. It was on a Sunday. So I went to the break room, where all the Air Force guys, I guess, that are working the AMC terminal go take their break. And I was there for a good 10, 15 minutes. And then two armed security force guys, one was armed with an M4, the other was armed with an M4 with the 203 grenade launcher on it, and carried around a 50 cal ammo can with some grenades on it. And they were there to babysit me. They were very respectful, introduced themselves, told them why they were with me, and explained to me that I wasn't being detained. They were just going to hang out with me and make sure that I was safe. So we had some casual conversations for a while. Then the DOD police showed up, one police officer, and about an hour or two later, a lady from Customs and Border Enforcement showed up. And it took about 5 hours to get to the resolution that I was on the no-fly list, and they didn't know how I left Travis Air Force Base.
Okay. Wait. Let me ask you this: Are you active military? Like, are you active military right now?
No, I watched this.
Okay. All right. Because you're using some terminology of you use some military or law enforcement terminology, and I was just curious as to where that. Where
yeah, I'm very familiar with the vernacular. I was a DOD contractor for 5 years.
Okay. All right, so out of the blue, bang, you're escorted off by, now, armed Customs and Border Enforcement?
No, I was escorted out by an airman unarmed.
Okay.
I was escorted to the break room, and then about 10, 15 minutes later, I was met in the break room by two armed Air Force security officers.
Okay.
It was a two-man team.
And just to be clear, the reason the Air Force was because you were on a military base there, Air Force base.
Yes.
Okay. All
yes. Right. They were the primary security force. Had I been somewhere else, it would have been whatever airports, police department, or whatever.
All right. Go ahead. And they said, well, they told you what, that you were being detained?
I was not being detained. I was just being held, which is the same thing as being detained.
Sure.
To answer some questions from customs. So I waited Custom showed up. She came in and brought me a Coke. I have to say this, that everyone in the Air Force, the DOD police, and even the young lady that was with ICE were very professional, very respectful, and they were as confused about the situation as I was. So we're still working on a resolution to try to figure out why I'm on the list, and they're working to try to find a way to get me a special temporary authority type pass deal where they can give me permission to fly back to the airport I left out of.
Okay, Wade, let me ask you some difficult and personal questions. You can choose to answer them or not answer them.
Okay.
Are you a felon, or do you have anything in your background that would, you know...
No, actually, I applied for a Mississippi concealed carry permit on August 17th, 2012. I received my concealed carry permit from the state police around September 20th, about a month and a half after I applied for it.
Okay.
To get a concealed carry permit in Mississippi, you must be fingerprinted, and they have to run your prints through the FBI database to make sure you don't have any warrants, felonies, or you're under any sort of investigation. Permit came back clear, no hits, no worries. So I'm not a felon in any way, shape, or form.
So you can get a concealed carry gun permit in a state that seems to have more strict gun laws, especially with getting the concealed carry, and yet you were taken off this flight.
Wow.
That's my understanding.
Yes, I also have the enhanced, so I can carry in a courthouse.
Okay. All right. Which the distinction is important, folks. I have to tell you, regardless of what you think about the Second Amendment, jumping through the hoops, the enhanced concealed weapons permit in the states that require them, it's an extra background step. So this is indeed curious. Did they give you any inclination, any remote suggestion that perhaps your personal or political views might be behind this?
They asked me if I had any idea why I would be on the no-fly list.
Hmm.
And I said, I have no idea, other than my affiliations with Tea Party groups. I did associate with members that were part of militia groups. I was never officially in a group, but I was an official member of the Mississippi Preparedness Project. I was actually the southeastern part of Mississippi's point of contact for the Mississippi Preparedness Project. I also participated in a very high level in the alarm and muster back when it was active. So I do have some affiliations with some groups that I don't think that they are too fond of.
So this is more, you think, a political labeling?
Well, yeah, could
labeling?
This be? Could this be?
Yeah.
I mean, what's
it
your gut telling
you? I was very, very vocal about the National Defense Authorization Act, and I did contact my representative about the National Defense Authorization Act, and, of course, I received a nice form letter saying, thank you for contacting our office. Your opinion's very important to us, yada, yada, yada. And,
right.
Of course, I didn't get anything else, but that follow-up. But nothing in my contact to them was in any way hostile, threatening, or could even be conceived as a threat. I did make a statement that if you would choose to vote for a bill like NDAA 2012 with its indefinite detention provision, I will do everything in my power to ensure that you do not get reelected and I will not be voting for you.
Well, that's
so
not
maybe they can consider that to be a political threat. But it's something that I've already followed through on with the prior Mississippi Congressman, Wayne Taylor, who is no longer a Mississippi Congressman.
Okay. Now, I've got kind of just a short checklist here. Are you or have you ever been a talk show host?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. So you...
Yeah,
you
started a local radio show on a local radio station, WQRZ 103.5 FM, out of Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. And I started a show called The Free Speech Zone because there was nothing in the area that put out free-thinking ideas and questioned anything.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm a very vocal opponent of 9/11, and you know, I've seen the evidence, and I think the evidence that I've seen warrants a new investigation, and I'm also vocal about that as well.
Well,
okay.
I feel the same way that you do with 9/11, and I know my father does too with the new investigation.
And by the way, wait, I got to tell you, by the way, we've been challenged to from people in the high places saying, go ahead and try to fly somewhere, basically. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the gist of it. But I'm amazed how you got onto the aircraft. Now, this was a commercial aircraft?
No, it was a military aircraft. It was a C-5 Galaxy. And they do have the same TSA procedures in place as far as baggage screening and searches and stuff like that.
Right.
No one was patted down. We went through metal detectors. They x-rayed our baggage, and that was it.
Okay.
There was no TSA screeners. They were just airmen in the Air Force, and they ferried us through the process. Very non-invasive. They functioned as well as any type of airport screening should be. It was very fast, very efficient, and it was thorough. I wish the TSA would take their model.
Right. Yeah.
But they do follow the TSA regulations as far as no liquids over 3 ounces and stuff like that. So I had nothing in my bag other than clothes, some deodorant, and my cell phone charger. So nothing to make them even want to search my bag. And my bags were never searched. Even the whole time I was being detained, I said, do you think I have something? I mean, would you like to search my bags? They didn't want to search me nor my bags.
So you were
they were just there to babysit me. Yeah.
Very cooperative. So you were held under – how long were you held, actually detained?
Between 4 and 5 hours.
Wow. Okay. But
mostly because they were waiting for the lady from customs to get over there because she was, on the other side of the island, so she was about an hour or so away.
Okay. But still, four to five hours, you're talking about a long time. You're going to be interviewed, as I understand it, by a network new or television news station sometime tomorrow, perhaps.
Yes. Ironically, I met a man named on the flight, and he hosts a show over here in Hawaii. I guess it's a cable access TV show. That covers a lot of the same topics that I talked about with him, including 9/11. He's former military, very well-spoken, very well-educated, and very well-informed, and he does his research before he lets anyone on his shows to talk about certain issues.
Okay. Okay.
And I've been asked to come on his show tomorrow. I'm waiting actually on a phone call from him tonight for the details. And I have not been told by Homeland Security, ICE, the TSA, or anyone else, that I could not talk to anyone, that I was detained in any way, so that's why I'm coming on the show, and I'm just telling people what's going on.
That was my next question. If anyone said you were not to talk about this, so you were not restrained, verbally restrained, or were released without any restrictions. Well, no, let me ask this. What, if any, restrictions or conditions did they put on your release, or didn't they?
They did. They said, I am free to go. I said, if I can find a way off the island, I can leave. They said, yes, as long as you don't fly.
As long as you don't fly.
Wow.
As long as I don't fly.
Well,
try to get from Oahu back to the United States. It's a long swim and it's a long boat ride.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's at this time of year, it's probably a little bit better than, we'll say, Cleveland. But that said, it certainly sounds like a violation of your rights. Now, Wade, I know your last name. I'm not going to give it over the air right now, but I know your last name. If I were to write an article for Canada Free Press or for other publications, am I free to use your last name?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm all over the internet anyway, so my name's not a secret.
All right. How can we help, Wade? I mean, this has got to be a maddening situation for you. What can we do? Because I feel that we need to do something here. What can we do for you?
Well, what I've asked my friends is to put the word out and let them know that this is happening to ordinary people, and I do believe that this is tied in some way
to my free speech and my political views. I'm a libertarian. I have libertarian philosophies about everything. I don't believe in the two-party system. I'm very vocal about that, that I don't want to vote for the lesser of two evils because they're two sides of the same coin. And our Constitution is dying. It's in a dire emergency, and people really are not awake to the fact that their rights are slowly being eroded away until they wake up one day and realize they have none.
God bless.
But I think what people could do to help is to contact their senators, contact their congressmen, and ask them to conduct an investigation why people are being put on the no-fly list that are not being contacted, not being investigated for anything. They're just taking their names and going, well, he's a bad guy, so he can't fly, without any due process whatsoever.
Yeah. And it's crazy. I was talking before we went on air about this with our mutual friend and my father, and, you know, at least once a week or once every couple of weeks, we see a story where a child is stopped from flying because his or her name is on a no-fly list. I mean, we're talking somebody under seven, you know. The way the TSA handles, there's a news story, and these happen all the time, the groping. There's a conservative lady talk show host who was sexually assaulted at an airport.
I was strip searched. Not this time, but the last time I flew before this, I was strip searched.
When was the last time you flew?
The last time I flew from Gulfport, Mississippi to San Francisco, California. My wife flew out a week in advance, and she used her points from her timeshares to purchase my airplane ticket. So there could have been multiple reasons why I was searched and had the quadruple S and had to go jump through all kinds of hoops to get on the airplane. They tried to search me again on the connecting flight in Houston, but they searched the guy in front of me because he had a backpack that looked just like mine. So they missed me there, and then they searched me again when I went to San Diego. I had a 3.5-hour layover in San Diego, and it took me about 3 hours and 15 minutes to get my boarding passes to continue on to San Francisco. Went to San Francisco, spent 3 days with my wife's family, went to fly back out. I told her, I have a feeling we need to get to the airport kind of early. Another 3-hour wait at the airport, waiting to get my boarding passes printed. When they called back, they said I was on an inhibited flight list.
Whoa.
And I asked them, what does that mean? And they said they could not tell me what that meant, but that I required prior authorization to travel. I said, well,
okay.
I don't understand why that is, but, you know, I'll play their stupid game. And I got my boarding passes. I flew my flight from San Francisco to Dallas, Texas, had a connecting flight out of Dallas to Gulfport. So no issues on that flight back home. Other than getting searched at San Francisco again. But the search at San Francisco was what I would consider just a normal pat-down type search, whereas Gulfport went completely haywire in their searching procedures.
Okay, Wade, okay, before your flight yesterday, tell me again when you were notified that you were on an inhibited flight list?
I was notified that I was on an inhibited flight list back in January of this year.
Okay.
And I just figured that meant I needed to show up to the airport a little bit early so I could pass whatever check they needed to pass so I could fly. That's why I drove out so far in advance, and I was at the AMC terminal when they opened at 0400 to go ahead and mark myself present for the flight. In case there was any issues, we would have time to resolve them before roll call or after roll call.
Okay, I've got to ask this. You're an American citizen, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Because the lawyer for the Julian Assange is on an inhibited fly list out of from Australia, meaning that he needs or she needs permission from the Australian government to fly. Now, you were never provided with any documentation that says
no documentation, no contact whatsoever, no phone calls, no letters. I had no idea that I was on a no-fly list. I figured the inhibited flight list was a one-time thing because of the way that the tickets were purchased.
Okay.
But it was after I did make some comments, like I said, about the National Defense Authorization Act. October of 2011, I flew to the D.C. metro area and had no problems with security, showed up to the airport, made the flight just like anyone else would on a normal day. There and back, no issues.
Wow. All right. What are your plans? I mean, what are your plans right as of this moment to get off the island, Gilligan?
I'm working with Senator Roger Wicker's office out of Mississippi, out of his Gulfport office. I contacted Senator Wicker, Senator Cochran, my representative Stephen Palazzo. I also contacted Congressman Ron Paul's office and Senator Rand Paul's office. I've been contacted by Stephen Palazzo's office, which is my representative. I've been contacted by Roger Wicker's office, which is one of my senators, and I've been contacted by Rand Paul's office. Rand Paul's office said, I'm not a Kentucky resident, but if there's anything that they can do to assist me, to let them know.
Okay.
So I have two senators' offices and a congressman's office that are willing to see what they can do to help me get a hop or a flight off of the island back to my departure place, which is Travis Air Force Base.
All right. And Wade, if I can ask you, what's your town of residence?
Gulfport, Mississippi.
Okay. All right. Now, we have John, a friend of the program, obviously, had given us your telephone number, and we have it here in studio. May we use it if we have to contact you with any questions, number one, and number two? Okay. Would you keep us informed as to your progress? Because here's what we'd like to do, I think, at this point. We'd like to draw some attention to your plight, although I dare say, you know, outside of the, look, being stuck on Hawaii, you know, some people might say, well, geez, that's really, too bad, you know. But I got to tell you, Hawaii or not, you've got a real problem on your hands. And more than that, your rights, the freedom of travel within our own country has been prohibited. Which is
indeed it has. If Hawaii was a drive away, I would rent a car and drive back to California. Unfortunately,
right,
the only way off of this island is going to be by aircraft, because cruise ships or I'm a merchant mariner by trade. I could go find a Seafarers International Union Hall and try to get a job working a ship that will eventually take me to San Francisco or anywhere along the West Coast, for that matter, so I can rent a car and drive back to San Francisco. That's probably going to be my plan B. If I can't get a flight off the island, I'm going to go try to use my Merchant Mariner credentials, my TWIC card, which is issued ironically by the Transportation Security Administration. But I'll have to go by the Coast Guard Marine Safety Office over here, not the Marine Safety Office, the Regional Exam Center, and acquire a replacement STW-95 document, because my original's back in Gulfport.
Holy
so,
cow. Just so I'm clear on this, Wade, are you currently a talk show host, or are you?
No.
Okay.
When I got married to my wife, I decided to tone all the rhetoric down and stuff out of respect for her career and things like that. And a lot of the stuff that I was talking about seemed to have been falling on deaf ears.
Huh. How long have you been? How long have you been married, Wade?
I've been married 8 months.
Okay. You sound kind of like the reason I asked, too, is a point of reference, but I understand why, you know, you would choose to tone things down, you know, for the sake of family. So.
And I want to just tell you, some listeners in our chat are saying, catch a private flight back. Or can you fly private?
Well, the same restrictions would apply.
Sometimes, but still, I mean, that shouldn't be. I mean, having to fly private versus using regular public transportation. There is no way. This is so messed up to pull you off of a plane mid-flight during a fueling stop on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Halfway around the world from your home and also from your destination, pretty much in the middle of nowhere, and they justify it. I mean, they hold you for that long. They don't on seeing if they're wrong or they screwed up.
Well, can you appeal to your... I went to Navy Legal to talk to a lawyer this morning about the situation.
Okay.
And because I am a dependent and a spouse, she was able to assist me. She called around and talked to the senior special agent with ICE and explained to her that she was a lawyer that worked for the Navy that was representing me as a civilian, but a spouse of a naval active duty service member. And she asked the question, could this be a mistake? Is his name wrong? And they said, no, we have the right person that is in our database. His Social Security matches and his birth date matches. And she passed that information on to me as well. So I am indeed on the no-fly list.
But no clue as to why no one's telling you you're on there because we think you're a domestic terrorist or nothing. No specificity. Nothing.
They have given me no reason. They just basically are telling me you can't fly because we said so.
Wow. To talk to you, Wade, look, you're a very well-spoken, very articulate man, and certainly you could reason with these individuals. You've got no problem articulating your position, so... I got to tell
not
you, man.
Not at all. I spoke adamantly about the Constitution and my rights are being violated.
Right.
And
correct.
I had the Air Force agreeing with me. I had the DOD police agreeing with me. And they said, yeah, this is pretty messed up. But we're just following orders. And I said, you are just following orders. And I completely understand that. And I respect that. However, you did swear an oath to the Constitution that supersedes the orders of those over you. But I understand you don't want to risk your career for me. But you can't get me on the airplane, so it's a waste of your time to say anything else about it. However, the lady with the Department of Homeland Security, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement, I don't know whether she took an oath or not. And she's relatively high ranking to be labeled the senior special agent. So It's over her head to make the decision whether or not I can fly. She said that she was working with the Federal Bureau of Investigation here in Hawaii. I had called a cousin that I have that is in the Federal Bureau of Investigation earlier this morning, and he asked me the same questions as you did, and as they did, do I have any idea why I may be on a list? And I told him I did have some affiliations with some groups and things like that, but I've never said anything threatening or nothing so far out of the alternative media scope that would deem me a threat in any way, shape, or form. And he thought it may have been something because my dad had a prior felony conviction. Maybe the names were confused, but that is now that I've discovered not the case. It has nothing to do with my dad. It is indeed me that they have the problem with.
And Wade, and ladies and gentlemen listening to this live in an archive, you do have a junior designation to your name. So your father's name and your name would be the same, obviously, with the exception of the designation of junior. But they told you to compare they verified your Social Security number, your date of birth, your identity. They got the right person. Yes, this is not an accident. You are on the no-fly list upgraded from the inhibited fly list. Wow.
With no explanation.
With no explanation. All right.
And I tried to call Department of Homeland Security's main line in D.C. I got transferred to the TSA call tree, and I could not. I asked to speak to an investigator. I asked to speak to a special agent. I asked to speak to a supervisor, and they could not get me in touch with anyone besides the person that answers the phone and directs their call to the automated help desk where you can find out information about how to make the security process easier. Nothing about how to look, I'm on the no-fly list and I'm stranded. Can I talk to somebody about how I'm supposed to get off the island? They said there is a process. I can fill out some paperwork and wait 45 days for an answer. And I would need a computer to do that. All I have is a cell phone over here. I had to walk 3 miles round trip today to the library over on Hickam Air Force Base from the Pearl Harbor Navy base just to access email, scan some documents, and email the TSA the forms that they were requesting, which was basically a copy of my passport and an explanation of what was going on. So it's been filed electronically. They've received my documents. I had a confirmation email from that. I've also forwarded the same documents that I sent to the TSA. I forwarded those same documents to Senator Wicker's office so they can attempt to expedite the process. But I have no idea how long I'm going to be stranded in Hawaii or if I'm going to be able to leave out of here via an aircraft.
Okay. Wow. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do, Wade, with your permission. We are going to get this out in the mainstream or out in the media, mainstream and alternative media, your plight. You're going to have to trust us on, representing your position correctly, because really there's very little that we can do in terms of providing you with an advance copy, if that's all right with you, but we will represent.
I have access to email, but that's fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Are you in contact with John at all, or will you be?
I can be in contact with John every day.
Okay. We'll keep John apprised. And of course, we've got your telephone number. We'll keep you notified what's going on. I will make some calls here to my contacts to see if we can expedite whatever process that has gotten you into this, or to get you back home. Now, that said, boy, I'll tell you, I don't know what else to say. One last thing before we cut you loose. The organizations that you had some affiliation with, what were those again?
I was affiliated with Alarm and Muster, the Modern Day Alarm Riders. It was a nationwide call tree to alert patriots and concerned citizens of actions by the federal government against our liberties and our freedoms.
Okay.
I was also a point of contact for the Mississippi Preparedness Project, which is a group of people from all walks of life. They have Republicans, Democrats, Independents as members, and it's basically a preparedness organization that helps like-minded citizens better prepare for the next hurricane, the next tornado, or a complete total financial or governmental collapse.
Okay. All right. Good. Can we use your last name on air right now?
Yes, you can.
All right. Folks, you have been listening to Mr. Wade Hicks Jr. That's H-I-C-K-S Jr. A gentleman who has obviously been caught in a situation where he's been grounded by our federal government. Why? Well, we don't know, but certainly the speculation is perhaps Mr. Hicks adheres to some political ideology that is not consistent with that of the TSA. Welcome to America. Mr. Hicks, I want to thank you very much for joining the program, and certainly, John, thank you so much for hooking us up. Wade, we're going to do as much as we can to get your story out there, and please keep us posted as to. And John has our personal telephone numbers. Please make sure you keep me posted personally.
And someone in chat alerted us to a site that can help volunteer pilots that arrange free flights. It's
angelflight.com.
Yeah, angelflight.com.
Yeah, I don't know if that would help you, given the fact that they might not want to touch you.
Yeah, I don't know about
figuratively,
that
is.
I've never heard.
I'm a pretty hot potato right now, it seems.
Are you on YouTube? Have you done YouTube videos?
I had a couple of YouTube videos that I posted as far as preparedness and stuff like that goes.
Okay.
But I don't have a lot of stuff on YouTube.
Anything on social networking where you're saying, you know?
No, I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. The only websites that I frequent with any frequency whatsoever is Infowars.com, your website, truthnews.us, and,
okay,
of course, AboveTopSecret.com, where I get information about just about anything.
Sure, sure. But no postings, no public postings of, I mean, you know, or nothing using your real name advocating the advocating anything seditious, right?
No. I've never posted anything like that under my real name. But, of course, everything that we do in this country is completely monitored. This phone call is probably being monitored right now as we speak.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know my email accounts are all being monitored, and it just lets you, you know, feel very comfortable knowing that they have to babysit every aspect of our lives to make sure that we're not going to do anything to threaten their establishment.
Yeah, it's terrifying, actually. But you know, at this point, I wish you the best. I grab a thing of coconut oil and sit on the beach, and you know, at least if you can, you know. I'm not being facetious. Seriously, you know, get some mental rest while you're there, and some at least a little bit of rest until things can get figured out and get you back on the mainland. Holy cow! But we will be putting the heat on some people on your behalf.
I certainly appreciate it.
All right, sir. Well, God bless you, my friend. And we are woefully late for our first break and getting on our second. But stay in touch, and just keep us posted as to what's going on. Meanwhile, we will definitely make your plight front and center in the media as well. So God bless you, my friend.
Thank you all. God bless. Have a great evening.
All right, folks. That was Wade Hicks Jr. Wow. Again, wow.
Yeah, and there's some, you know, in chat, some debate going on as to whether this is real or not. And to tell you the truth, we know.
Well, let me, before you get into
things,
it,
but
yep.
We will find out. And
we do have, as investigators still, I mean, having the designation of investigators, we are able to access databases, and we don't take anything at face value. All right, so before the program, in the interest of full disclosure, we did run a basic search, a non-invasive basic search, just to make sure that, you know, we're not talking about somebody that's got a felony record or has got a list of felonies, you know, a mile long, or has any active wants or warrants, that type of thing. So from an investigative perspective, at face, at this time, it appears that Mr. Hicks is, in fact, being truthful, honest, and above board with everything he's talking about. Now, that said, you know, will his story stand up under closer scrutiny following tonight's program? We'll see. But I have a tendency to think, based on our, you know, what we've gone through right now, look, I think it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen to people who are not involved politically, people who are not involved, not even old enough to be involved in school. So is this a misunderstanding? Is there a reason, unannounced reason, or what is it called, classified, or whatever they keep, you know, secret, you know, how they have lists of people. I'm sure the TSA knows when certain people, you remember the pastor, Paul Begley, on a number of occasions says he was pulled aside and given a rough time after they looked at his ID and scanned his ID. Many people have talked about these invasive and completely just egregious security measures, but it's not even security measures. It is, you know, humiliation, sexual assault, a number of tactics, but it's definitely not security.
And folks, I can understand, for example, the inhibited fly list. All right, that is a boy. I'll tell you, you know, you think that sometimes I think, well, you know, people know the different designations, you know, like inhibited fly list, and sometimes we, you know, like it's there are levels of, I don't even want to use the word security, but levels of travel restrictions, airline travel restrictions. Whereas the no-fly list is you're not allowed to fly, period, according to the Department of Homeland Security. And an inhibited fly list, if you're on that, you might be able to fly if you receive advance permission from the Department of Homeland Security and the TSA. That's the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Wow. So anyway, we're late for a break. We're going to take a break now. Joe?
We'll come back with your calls after this short break. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report this Monday, October 15th, 2012. I think I even screwed that up on the beginning of the show.
Nice. Don't rush in. You know,
all these days are running together. They're just merging together.
Exactly.
Folks, stay with us. We'll be right back after these short messages.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman & Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Pau, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth squads specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
Hey, listeners of the Hagman & Hagman Report. This is Joe Hagman, and I want to tell you about another sponsor we have, Nootropic. This is a vitamin
I want to hear you explain
supplement
this.
That promotes healthy cognitive function, has antioxidant support, mood enhancement, seems to have a calming effect. It's a combination of dietary supplements that have an effect which gives a holistic approach to cognitive function.
Explain that.
Increases the body's resistance to adverse influences and helps normalize the body's psychological functions. MindRegard.com is the website. Nootropic is the product. These are non-GMO polluted nutrient supplements that support healthy memory and cognitive function. That's MindRegard.com, Nootropic is the product. Try it.
Absolutely. Go to HomelandSecurityUS.com. Click on the banner for MindRegard.com. Joe, you did a great job. Look, I have a hard time explaining to people what this stuff does.
Don't lie to me. No, I'm just messing.
No, seriously, I have a hard time explaining to people what this does. But I talked to all my friends about this, both my friends. And look, this stuff really works. It's a good dietary supplement. I could feel the difference. In fact, it even... I'm not allowed to say this officially, but it does regulate. It seems the only thing, I don't know. My blood glucose levels have been regulated a little bit more regular, and I feel better, and I'm able to think a little bit more clearly. My wife has commented on a couple of different occasions, saying that I appear a little bit sharper mentally than I have been in the past. The only difference in my regimen has been the infusion of this nootropic. So try it, folks. It's certainly helped me. It's helped my father-in-law, and I've got Joe taking it as well. We'll see the change in him shortly. That's nootropic. MindRegard.com. That's MindRegard.com. Welcome back, folks.
Hour number three, the final hour, which the first two went so fast. On this Monday morning show, and for those or Monday evening show, for those of you who have joined us late. A couple of things. One, yesterday, if you missed it, we did a three-hour show with Steve Quayle. You can find it on archives at HomelandSecurityUS.com and or on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. Download the podcast with any iPhone or podcast app. It was a great show. It was spiritual preparedness and, you know, things we need to do today to get right with the Lord in these times of uncertainty. And I just want to say that it was a fantastic show. Steve really was on point, talked a lot about things that are very important going on today inside the Christian community. And in my Bible reading this morning, Corinthians.
Go ahead.
I almost started in Chronicles here. Let me pull it up, Corinthians. And this, I kind of, when I read this, I was taken back, and then I went over it again and saw that I read it wrong. And I guess that teaches the importance of making sure the scripture you're reading it correctly. But let's start here. 1 Corinthians.
But by the way, folks, I'm going to tell you this. If we had video on right now, and we're dark because of the studio functions or the studio movie we did, but if you can see his Bible, it looks.
And how old is this?
I'm glad
this is the new one you guys got me for my birthday about a year and a half ago.
Right, and it looks like it's actually been through some pretty rough handling there.
It has been,
but thank you. I'm glad to see that it's well used.
Yes. This is what I came across that I felt that I needed to read to the audience. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. That's how it starts. And it talks unto the church of God, which is at Corinthian, to make them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And here's where it started to hit me. It says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also conform you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of your Lord Jesus, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, that them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And as an example...
Now, what does that tell you?
Well, it's a lot of what we see today, and a lot of what we've talked about, the interdenominational fighting. We all are striving to be better have a better relationship with the Lord.
That's correct.
This is our number one goal, or should be our number one goal.
The spiritual preparedness, no matter how you think you're, you know, oh, no, I'm spiritually prepared. I got to tell you, we all need that little kick in the butt.
And yeah, and he says, there should be no division among you. Those that are joined together perfectly in the same mind and in the same judgment. And it goes on. It goes on. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
Prudent, yes.
Now, what is he saying?
I think that's a very important passage for, or scripture for, the time in which we find ourselves today.
Yeah.
Because we're all waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. 1 Corinthians 8:18, that just says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Yeah, exactly. So you see, don't be messing around. You know, look.
Yeah, he says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and that's one of the things that caught me. So I started going back and looking up definitions of wise and understanding, and I got to tell you,
that's a very difficult translation of biblical Bible. We got you a very. The translation is not the best. I mean, it's very accurate, but it's difficult to read leisurely. Okay, but I don't think it's supposed to be easy to read.
No.
You know, it's not made that way. But
The way he talks about the wise here, what he's talking about is the people that, from my understanding, the people that can justify away the creation without the Lord, saying, you know, refusing to give glory to God for his creation.
Right.
And thinking that they are too smart or that, this is, you know, too old of a doctrine. I think this was written, you know, a lot of people say that the stories in the Bible, the prophecies in the Bible have, you know, one to two meanings, or it can be fulfilled more than once. But the way that I read this,
I see the problems
of the church today. The church is completely divided. Christian denominations, all of them, they are divided. They practice different doctrines. They have different rules in each denomination. How can that be if we are united under Jesus Christ? It can't be.
Well, that tells me... It's because we're arguing over man-made doctrinal issues,
right,
as opposed to keeping our eyes on the larger picture.
Right. And it speaks so loud to my soul that the importance of not being divided, those that are in Christ. And I just... Like I said, I went through the definitions of wise, and it's not bad to be wise, but to be think you are wiser than creation, or think you can, you know, justify away, or the theory of evolution, just as an example, science, and really, if you go through the Bible and look at science, science backs up the Bible. Pretty much 100% of the time, I'd have to say. The theories of evolution with the monkey Lucy, that the Lucy turned out to not be true. I mean, there's no factual evidence that we, you know, evolved from a monkey to a human. There's no in-between. Something either changed dramatically or we are a different species than monkeys.
But you know, look, macro and microevolution. Even if there is, I don't believe in macro evolution. I don't believe that we evolved from anything that crawled out of the sea, or, you know, from monkeys or whatever.
The bottom line, though, keep it simple. We don't have to involve ourselves unless we're speaking out against evil. We don't have to involve ourselves
in the minutia of the man-made doctrine.
Correct.
And that's where I think a lot of people get hung up on. And whether or not that passage, that scripture, really means or really would address that, look, I'm not sure. But the way I see it is this: you know, we're in a family, a big family, are listening on in. I consider our family. People email me, God love you, people. I love you. You're our family. You're my family. And, you know, we all have issues. Even, you know, I've got issues with this man-made doctrine, whether it's Catholicism or whether it's, you know, whatever. But you know what? At the end of the day, what are we looking at? We are looking at the bigger picture. So the little nuances, as long as they don't detract from the bigger picture, or as long as they're not, downright, you know, nefarious, or they don't distract from the true word of God, let's not dwell on those. Let's just seek our salvation as we're instructed to, mm-hmm. and move along.
Yeah. And guys in chat, or for those listening in archive, the people in chat have said that we were zapped, there was no sound, and then we came back, which is pretty interesting. We did not have any pop-ups, alerts, or
noises. My pacemaker
noises
might have went off. And,
on our end. Sorry to those who did lose sound. Don't understand why some people lose sound and others don't. Don't understand why some people get kicked out of the room and others don't.
Yeah, seriously, we don't kick. I mean, look, some people say, well, why'd you kick me out? We didn't kick you out.
Only okay. Sometimes.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes we will, but generally, no, we don't.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you for that, because, Joe, I want to thank you for bringing that scripture into tonight's discussion, but because that's for the wise, and I mean, or that is...
Right, and also with that, the wise, the reason the wise was important, the word wise, is because... when doing research, being wise wasn't a bad thing. I've looked up different interpretations of the definition of what the word wise means. And
what was that? Chapter 3?
1 Corinthians, there was two parts. First was 1 Corinthians chapter 10 was about the no divisions. And
right.
Then about being wise was verse 18.
All right. Well, the chapter 10 part, the divisiveness is something that we've seen a lot of, and I think time is too short to be really, again, as long as you're on the right track as far as our Savior, Jesus Christ, is concerned and you know, the bigger picture, you know, let go of the minor divisions that might separate us. Let's look on the larger aspect of things, because time is short, folks. It really is, which leads me to this, and I said earlier in the program about the – you okay with this? Okay. I said this.
After this, we'll take some calls.
All right. I just want to cover this very quickly. Right now, as we speak, China, Japan, they're stepping up military posturing right now. Folks, recall that we talked about this. This past weekend, the Japanese Navy celebrated its 60th anniversary with the equivalent of an ocean-based military parade. 40 of the country's ships were included in this military exercise, which was held in the waters just south of Tokyo. Now, this was intended to be a clear display of maritime strength. The dispute is between China and Japan over islands. Over islands in the Sea of Japan, I believe. Now, having said that, this has been a long, ongoing dispute. But what I have been, I've received a couple of emails from my intelligence source, not DHS, but the other agency, and he was saying, look, right now, as it stands, the entire world sees us as weak. Now, whether or not you want to attribute that to Barack Hussein Obama or whatever policy, a weak Congress or being spread too thin, whatever the reason, I personally don't care what the reason is, but the fact is they see us as weak. Now think back, folks, to how many years ago, October of 1962, do you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis back in 1962, JFK, the 13 days in October? Well, you know, that's when America stood up to the Soviet Union and said, no, you know, you can't put the nuclear missiles on Cuba. By the way, that 13 days in October, where we had the Cuban Missile Crisis, and you know, there was a one time when it ended, and allegedly it ended in the favor of the United States. Well, a lot of people don't know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. There were actually 100 or so, about 100 nuclear tipped missiles in Cuba that remained there well beyond that, the end or the public end of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I find that very interesting. In fact, at 3 o'clock this morning, as I was doing some work, I had the television on in the studio here, and I on the History Channel there was the it was a half hour special about the Cuban Missile Crisis, and it was just interesting to watch. And those of us who lived this, by the way, this brings me to another question: whatever happened to fallout shelters? Where are they? The civil defense, you know, those yellow signs. While I don't miss the duck and cover exercises, still have to wonder what's going on with our civil defense system. Apparently, that's just for the elite. That's just for the people that you know, continuity of government. It's not for us. You promised to go to the phones. Let's do it.
Yeah. You got the switchboard there?
I do. Please, point me in the right direction. Which button should I hit?
317 has been on hold for
right.
a long time.
We're going to 317 area code. 317, you're on with Doug and Joe Hagman.
Hi, Doug and Joe. It's Chad with Indiana.
Hey. All right.
How you doing, guys?
Not bad. What's on your mind tonight?
I just listening to your special last night with Steve. He's on a roll as usual. Love that guy. Love that guy. I wish to... He's like a cat in a pigeon coop sometimes, trying to keep him on point. But we're talking about all these things coming down, you know, on us, and what we see is all our man-made resources, our abilities within ourselves to do anything, being taken away from us, and our Lord is allowing that, you know, so that we won't be dependent on those things. I mean, I see that, on a personal level day to day, but, you know, I think we have to ask ourselves, you know, you talked about Jonathan Kahn's book, The Harbingers, and we have to ask ourselves, you know, a very pointed question: if there are so many people who don't understand and see that as God's judgment, what does that really say about us as a nation, that even when God judges us, we don't realize it?
Interesting. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
excuse me. I received some emails about Rabbi Kahn's book, The Harbinger, and the DVD and such, saying, you know, well, there might be some misinterpretation of certain things, and, you know, might not be the best. I do understand that, okay, but go ahead.
There's no other ruiner of doctrine than a personal revelation of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And it's not, you know, Steve's, there's nothing special about Steve Quayle. There's nothing special about Doug or Joe.
You're darn right.
Other than a longing to know Christ that is true, that anybody can have a personal revelation. And it's not a good feeling. It's not an enlightenment of Scripture. It's the presence and being in his presence. It will ruin your doctrine. It'll ruin you in yourself. It'll ruin you in arguments with other people. You'll have no desire to argue with people. You'll have no desire to do anything but talk about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's really easy to identify people who have been in his presence for that very reason. And you know, the Lord is allowing this stuff to bring everyone to that point. You know, he doesn't do anything without telling us he's going to do it first. So if we're at this point now, it's because he was telling us years ago this is where we would be today.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're allowed to be at this point today is because when we told them then, they still didn't hear. And so he's turning up the volume. And he'll keep turning up the volume because he loves us. Because
Amen.
He's given us opportunity and time to ruin us in ourselves, our abilities to get ourselves off of islands, our inability to save ourselves from our mortgage problems, the inability to save ourselves from our tax problems, the inability to save us from our food problems. He is ruining us in ourselves so that we will seek him and we will be brought to the place where we will seek him with our whole heart, our whole mind, and our whole strength, because we'll have nowhere else to turn.
I might take issue with ruining, the word ruining, the verb.
Well, that may not be the best term. Confidence, I guess, in my own ability. You know, that may be the wrong term to use there. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I understand what you're trying to say, and I think you're spot on with respect to, you know, there are certain things, kind of like a father with a child would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that to me is what is being displayed here. And there's a tolerance with a child, and then there's the discipline, there's the judgment and discipline, if you will. And I think that if we can, I mean, this is how I would look at it in my very simple mind, by the way.
That's true of all of us the further we go.
You know, look, and yeah, the older I get, the more I realize a couple of things the older I get. The older I get, the better I like my dog, okay? and the more I realize that I've got fewer answers, a lot more questions, and a lot less answers. But I do know, you know, but I got to tell you, though, I do know that, you know, what I do know is what is the word in the Bible is, in fact, the guiding light here.
Right.
So.
You know, in the second part of that I wanted to say, and then I'll get off here so someone else can get on with you. Your listeners and I and everybody else are that question, you know, that question, where are we, you know, is the timeline. You know, everybody wants to know the timeline. Where are we? And I thought it was just, it just struck me like a brick upside the head today that this was the very first question that the Lord asked Adam and Eve after they sinned. Is where are you?
Hmm. Yeah.
And here we are now. We are the ones asking that questions of ourselves, and I think that's a positive thing, that we're asking that question, where are we?
That,
and then I'll let you go.
Beautiful. Well said. Well said, because it's so important. And when we ask that question, we, you know, we might ask it rhetorically, but we're also, I think, but are we not kind of praying as we ask that question in a way? You know, where are we?
Well, you know, the Lord never asks a question that he's needing an answer for. He asked it for our benefit, and we see Jesus did the same thing. And so, you know, we ask that question, you know, expecting the answer. And I don't think it's so much to do with what's outside as it should have to do with what's inside. And I guess that's the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
On an individual person. You know, there is a lot going on outside the world that can be scary. It can be downright unnerving. It can be downright evil in your face. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, day to day, where am I with my Lord and my Savior? Does
Right.
he say to me, I know you? And am I confessing those sins that I know he's trying to bring to my attention? Am I walking in repentance once he shows me what they are? Am I asking him to show me, you know, to reveal to me what I'm reading in his word that day, so that at every point throughout the day, I'm where he wants me to be. So when he asks the question, where are you, I can answer as they said in the scripture, here, Lord, here am I. I'm right here.
Wow. Powerful. Very, very powerful. Very insightful as well.
I'll let you go, guys.
Thanks, God, man. I appreciate that. Very good. Very, very great. That's a great call.
Yes, it was.
I got to tell you, let's move right along here because I know we have people on hold forever. We're going to go to the 480 area code, 480. Go ahead, you're on with Doug and Joe.
What's that, me?
Yeah, that's you.
Yep. Hey, I've been waiting. Sorry. I just called. I just definitely wanted to thank you for all the insight that you've given as far as that Libyan ambassador. I listen to a lot of shows. And, you know, you've given the best. It's awesome. I've been emailing some of your stuff. Even I'm not one who usually calls or emails other shows and anything like that. But I've been loving that. I've been really lapping it up. But basically, well, as much as I appreciate everything that you guys do, you totally fact-check everything. And that gives me the confidence to then forward it to other people, which I really appreciate.
Wow. Well, we appreciate the fact that you have faith in us, and we do our best to get the information out there. And we do fact-check to the best of our ability. And that's not to say that once in a while something might get by us or sneak around.
Yeah, but that's everybody, right?
I mean, sure.
But the fact that you guys, I think you guys know your business. But, you know, what I've been really wanting to know from you guys is I really would like to support in some, even if it's just a small way, but I don't do over the internet. Like, I don't do my card over the internet. And a lot of these places have a P.O. box. Like, you know, every so often I'll send to, you know, Rick Wiles, and they have a P.O. box. And if you guys had something like that, at least you would have maybe some more options for people like me who feel like I really just kind of have a whole negative thing about giving any super, I mean, to me, that's kind of personal information over the internet.
Oh, no, you know what, caller, I agree with you. And what we are doing, and I've said this probably a dozen times already, we're going to be putting up our P.O. box. Actually, it's P.O. box. We're going to be putting up our P.O. box on our website on the right-hand side tonight.
Good.
I promise.
Good.
I promise.
Even if it's just something small, like I remember you said at one time, you know, if everybody would just give a small amount, I don't know how many listeners you have, you know, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, I do have a couple that I give every single month. And, you know, even if it's something small, then I hope that it helps because, you know, we got to keep you guys on.
Well,
we got to keep you guys on. We got to, like, support you, and I hope that that helps for other people too.
Well, you know what? We appreciate that. And certainly I appreciate that. And I promise before my head hits the pillow tonight, if it does, I will put that on the right-hand side of our website. And
thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
And I'll be watching for it.
All right. Thank you very much,
okay,
ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thanks to you guys. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless. How great is that? You know, and we do try to fact-check everything. Let's go right back to 214 area code. You're on with Doug and Joe Hagman. 214 area code, you're up.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Joe. This is Jan in Dallas.
Jan, it's good to talk with you.
I was listening to your interview with Wade.
Yes.
And
what do you think?
I just think it's an amazing story, and I couldn't think of anyone better to check this out. And John being in contact with you and with Wade, and I'm going to feel like a fruitcake right now, but all I can think of was listening to him was, as a woman, what are you doing to my husband? I was so furious.
Wow.
That he could not go on and see his wife that he intentionally went out to go visit. He's got to come back here, get himself back. And gosh darn it, I think I could speak for a few women in your audience that, what are you doing to my husband? And stop it.
Well, you know, that's an
interesting point. I'm so angry.
Well, yeah, it would be, it would anger me too. And, you know, we always look at this with a bit of trepidation, okay, hearing it the first time. And I think John probably picked this up in our voices, my voice in particular, where, all right, wait a minute, you know, come on. What's the backstory here, you know? And then okay, you know, after listening to John talk, and we know John, and, you know, we take, look, if he says, you know, if he says something is true and he's checked it out, we believe him because that's the kind of guy he is. Now, however, there's things that, you know, maybe he might have missed, but as far as we can tell right now at this hour, at this moment in time, this is happening to Wade without obvious cause. Again, emphasizing the word obvious. Okay, now, did he, you know, how would we know if he's like, if he would be and I'm not saying he is, but how would we know if he would send, like, maybe he sent a letter to the president saying, you know, you're, or threatened, did something that would cause him to be, you know, pegged on the no-fly list. I don't believe that to be the case. That
doesn't
said,
sound like it.
You know, boy, but interesting perspective, though. You know, what are you doing to my husband?
They're newlyweds. I'm furious.
Yeah.
Joe, you would know how this feels.
Oh, yeah.
You're a newlywed. Your wife, Laura, would be nuts.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't she?
Yeah, I would be the same way. I mean, I'd be freaking
absolutely
out.
Yeah, well, I've had my say.
Well, thanks, Jan. No, thank you so much.
A viewpoint from a woman, because you guys have to, you know, you're the investigators, and I just, God love Wade and his wife. And,
well, we're going to keep you posted on this. And
please do.
I guarantee you, we're going to make some noise about this.
Good.
Well, we're going to see what happens. Hopefully we can make a difference.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Jen.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jen.
Again, you know, I feel like I'm talking to my, I got a better relationship with our listeners than my family.
Yeah.
Extended family, that is.
We have the best audience in the world, the greatest callers in the world. We could not ask for a better audience.
Exactly.
Continues to grow, or new people continue to find us, and the emails, the calls like this to the show.
I got a call, or I got an email from Germany. I checked the emails, and like, you know, boy, I tried to respond, and I got an email from Germany today.
That's one thing that blows me away. We were looking at some of the different areas that listen to the
Norway,
show. Norway, Australia, South America,
truly
the UK, France, Israel, just
a lot
all
of
over
people
the place.
In Israel.
Yeah, all over the place. And it's just really good to know that people are hearing the message, and it's about the message. It's not about us. It's not about anything else, but getting closer to God and knowing what's going on in the world without the mainstream media agenda, you know, bogging down the true message of the stories and the true dangers and or goodness of the stories.
I want to segue something I mentioned before about the Cuban Missile Crisis back in 1962. Very quickly, I want to just point out that in September of 2009, there was Russia had, and this kind of flew under the radar. Russia had said that they were going to assist Cuba to modernize their weapons and train their military, which they, in fact, did do after the September of 2009. Again, this, everything Cuba's got is Soviet-made. It's Soviet-made military equipment, and they did engage in training of military personnel. That was the focus of the Russian-Cuban military cooperation. And now, during the Soviet era, which I don't believe it ever stopped, there was a tremendous amount of military equipment that was transported to Cuba. And we have to look, folks, right now, boy, and I think Steve had I think Steve did a good job of addressing this. But you had to listen fast, if you know what I mean. Steve's like an Energizer rabbit. I love the guy, but sometimes you just have to listen really fast. But I think he made the point that we're still fighting not only communism, but folks, if you can believe this, I mean, and I ask you to believe this, but again, you know, do your own homework or do your own research if you have doubts about this. We're also fighting the remnants of the Nazis, okay? The Third Reich, the Fourth Reich, whatever you want to call it. And people might say, what are you talking about? You know, we defeated the Nazis in World War II. Well, did we really? Well, again, sometimes the truth is even harder to really understand and to bear than fiction. Folks, look, there's an element, and again, as soon as anyone brings up the word Nazi, I got to tell you, people point at you and say, you know what, you're really out there, you're crazy, you need a tinfoil hat.
And if I might add, this isn't coming from.
For me.
From your...
thank you.
Because I heard...
You heard part of a conversation I had with a source within the intelligence community saying this very same thing.
Mm-hmm. And that struck me as odd because I always call the combination of the Nazi and communism, but as more Nazi characteristics of a fascist government,
yep.
Of a all-encompassing totalitarian government, the Gestapo and all. It is more Nazi-like, but
That's correct.
We can drop the Nazi label because they've perfected the worst ways to, you know, hurt people of communism and of all these systems, and they've combined them, and this is what we have today.
But that element, that remnant of the Nazi party, is still there.
Yeah, it's
still pervasive.
If you do research, you can find pictures of Prescott Bush with Hitler. The Pope with Hitler, there was a wide influence, and a lot of people say that he was put into power for the specific reason to do what he did. And
right.
But one thing is for certain, the Weimar Republic, before World War I and the Weimar Republic, that's a great example of what to look at when looking into hyperinflation and the death of a dollar in a country, which led to the rise of Hitler. And
well, see, and this is so important, I think, and you make a good point. A lot of people associate or tend to think, tend to equate the Nazi party with the far right wing political faction
right.
of the United States. All right.
And
which
that has something to do, I think, with the right wing politicians that they were associated with.
Okay. You know, look, it's complex, but okay, fine. Can we stipulate that? Well, you know, it's more than that. I think, you know, it would take a series of programs to really dissect the Nazi philosophy, but really, it's not associated with the far right. It's probably more far left if you really got into it, but really, what does it matter in that sense? What matters is this: there's this element of the elite, whether you're talking about the Rothschilds or the Rockefellers, and this is something I was surprised to hear. This is right now the age of the Rothschilds, not the Rockefellers.
The age of the bankers in general, but yeah,
true. You know,
that name is brought up as pretty much one of the, you know, it is equated with the head of the international banking cabal, the IMF,
right,
World
correct.
Bank. That's the name behind all the Federal Reserve and
the Rothschilds,
the consolidation,
or the Rockefellers?
Both, but mostly the Rothschilds.
Okay. Okay.
Are the name given, you know, that's who gets most of the blame for setting up these systems, and rightfully so, a lot of take credit for it.
Right, correct. Now, they both have a certain agenda. I mean, they both have the same agenda, but a certain plan to get there.
And we look back to, what was it, Napoleon? When Napoleon was fighting, what was it, the UK or Britain, and the Nathaniel Rothschild, I think it was, or one of those.
Okay,
Rothschild,
yeah,
said,
yeah, yeah.
He told, he let through a media outlet or said somebody won the war, or Napoleon beat Britain when that was not the case, and the rest of the world didn't get the news till 12 hours later, which it devalued all the stocks and money, and this guy
correct.
Bought it all
oh,
up.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's...
I mean, that's something we have to get into in another show, because that shows the beginning of one of the... I mean, this is documented, and it shows the level of manipulation that these people will go to. I mean, they will burn their whole families in an oven, you know, for one gold tooth among 10 of them. These people are ruthless.
Yeah, yeah.
They serve one master, that is Satan. Not even money or power. It's Satan.
Yeah, and I was surprised. I guess I was surprised. I don't know. I suppose, like everyone else, do you really sit there and think about these things? But I was surprised at the level of evil, at the very evil incarnate that we're talking about here. But and as things were being explained to me, and again, look, I'm just listening to this source telling me this and explaining the bloodlines, and think about this: what were the Nazis attempting to do? They were attempting to cleanse mm-hmm. and preserve a bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers attempting to do? Preserve and advance their bloodline. It's all about buying history. It's
right.
All about...
They believe a few things. I found out through reading some of their own writings, and this is going to sound crazy, and I think I've talked about this on the show before. One thing I've read about is a harvest. They plan on a harvest of human beings where they think they're going to get energy for massacring these humans. This has not happened yet. Another thing is the bloodlines. They view, I guess, the body as we are supposed to view it, in that it is the temple. But they don't view it as the temple, God's temple.
Right.
So they preserve their bloodlines by doing everything they can to eat healthy, and they try to make it better because they say, you know, you can do something. If, say, you become an alcoholic, that can screw up your bloodline down the – if you have kids, you know, you can pass that on.
Yes.
So they try to better themselves to pass along all the knowledge plus the proper genes, you know, and they say that, you know, you have a choice to do the same thing, but that's not true anymore because they have taken away all the original organic, you know, foods and the knowledge and the ability for us to really be self-sufficient and, you know, made these genetically modified. And this is what they have done. It's going back to the bloodline. They're corrupting our bloodline. So they're the only bloodline that's left. It's like
and there's the
Rockefellers. It's like these elites battle with each other. Who can be worse? Who can commit, you know, more atrocities and get away with it? Who's going to end up the head family of the world is how they look at it.
Exactly. And you know, there is this philosophy out there, the belief that, you know, there's the technology, the advancements, and the possibilities of living forever. And boy, try to understand that. And again, this is not me. This is someone telling me, trying to explain to me that, you know, how, what the thought process is, and it's well beyond even my comprehension. But just if you could live forever, in other words, if you would die, for example, let's say you're Joseph Norman Rothschild, the 27th, okay, and let's say you die today. Well, there's a belief out there where you could, through technology, and I'm probably going to screw this up, but as memories reside outside the body, have you ever heard of this? You know, memories reside outside of the body. If that's the case, at some point, you could be brought back.
Yeah, they believe.
And reinserted, the memories back, you know, reinserted or merged with your memories. Something to that effect. Again,
and
I don't have all the
this
answers.
This goes under,
man,
you know,
that's weird.
What Satan tries to do is put himself above, he will try to make himself like God. He will put himself above.
That,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That goes right back to, see, that's the Bible. Again, the Bible comes through, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bible comes through because what happened, you know, what's the story about Noah and Adam and Eve and Cain, you know, and then, of course, the Cain and you know, the DNA, basically, if you really get into the Bible and perhaps believe this part about the DNA, the bloodline, or the I don't want to say bloodline, I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for, but the DNA, the genetics being messed up and God having to, you know,
yeah,
cause the waters to rise and the flood to...
Now, that, you know, there's a, I would say, different teachings on that, and I saw the different interpretations that, you know, it wasn't, Noah wasn't righteous, it was his blood that was righteous, you know, it was his DNA.
Right.
But, you know, I've gone back through the books, and from what I understand, Noah was righteous. It's not written...
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean...
Otherwise.
But can you imagine you're sitting there building an ark for 300 years? I mean, you know...
what was it? How many years was it? 120?
I don't know. A whole bunch of years. More than we, you know... And here you are building it. Can you imagine what your neighbors would say? You know, what are you doing? Huh?
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, okay. But folks, look, we're coming close to the end of the program. I just want to say this. This week we made a lot of progress into actually physically moving and rearranging and getting things set up. We want to thank Troy for all of his hard work as well with the Christians United Broadcasting Network. He's a great guy. He engineered our sound system, getting it the way we need it. We've got everything in place almost. I mean, we're running a little bit behind with getting the video up. But when it does come back up, it's going to be very pleasant to view,
yeah,
and very different.
And it will be up tomorrow. It's all set,
yes,
up, ready to,
yes,
go. It's all hooked up.
We just couldn't get the lighting right. And
your neck
was
not bleeding.
Yeah. That was an issue. Yeah, the blood stain. We'll clean up the blood stains.
And last week, I want to play this because I didn't get to play this. Last week, we did a story about the Supreme Court making a decision where you might not be able to sell your own stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Ben Swan, and I
questioned that, but okay.
Ben Swan of Reality Check made a YouTube video about this and has more information here to break down what this means for us. I'm going to play this now. It's only 3.5 minutes.
And
we'll come back
the
show out.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, we will have time for that. Okay, go ahead.
So this is about the right. You might not have the right to sell your own things, a car, things you inherited, antiques from your grandmother, anymore. This is pending on a Supreme Court decision. And here's Reality Check, Ben Swan from Reality Check's take on what this means.
Well, the idea that if you buy a CD or a book, it's now your property to use, throw away, or resell, right? Well, maybe not. This fall, the U.S. Supreme Court is considering a case that could change that, meaning you could not resell products that you buy without permission first. Ben has the Reality Check. You won't see anywhere else.
Well, this is a case that is almost hard to believe. The U.S. Supreme Court is taking it up, and it could change the way you buy and sell things forever. Here's the backstory. In 1997, a Thailand native named Supop Kurtsang came to America to study at Cornell University. He realized his textbooks were substantially cheaper to buy in Thailand than they were in New York. Kurtsang got his Thai relatives to buy the books and then ship them to him in the United States. Well, one of the publishers, John Wiley & Sons Publishing, sued him for copyright infringement, and they were awarded $600,000 in damages. Now, it's worth mentioning that retailers like Target or eBay and Amazon, they make an estimated $63 billion a year selling items that are purchased abroad and then resold in the United States. It's the same thing that Kurtsang was doing. It's known as the gray market. Well, Kurtsang countered and appealed the ruling under first sale doctrine. What is first sale doctrine? Well, it's actually pretty simple. You and I operate under it every day. The first cell doctrine was established by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1908, and in 1976, the first cell doctrine became a part of U.S. copyright law. In short, you can resell anything that you have legally purchased, because the copyright holder only had control over the first sale. In August of 2011, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit, they upheld a lower court's ruling that the first sale rule may not apply to the textbook case. The court agreed that anything that was manufactured overseas is not subject to the first sale rule. Only American-made products, or copies manufactured domestically, are. Well, if upheld, the way you buy and sell would dramatically change. CDs, books, your phone, your clothing, they would not be yours to sell without permission if they're created overseas. What about your car? Well, technically, this would apply to any car made overseas. But even for cars and trucks made in the U.S., 40% of the parts or the technology originates overseas. But you have to pay royalties on that. Also, the Library Copyright Alliance, they have petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court on this, saying that the decision could affect libraries' rights to lend books or other materials that are manufactured abroad. So what this means for you should be pretty clear. Say goodbye to eBay, to Craigslist, garage sales, to flea markets. But mostly, say goodbye to common sense and individual freedom here. Look, there's already talk that exceptions might be made for libraries. Well, why? What makes the library more valuable than an individual? Why will Amazon and Target continue to purchase in the gray market? The central idea here is that when you purchase a product, it's yours, not simply licensed to you. It's your property. And that might be the biggest question that emerges from all of this. Is the idea of private and personal property something that's disappearing or all but gone in America? The Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments on this case October 29th. We'll keep you updated. And that is Reality Check.
And if you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. Find it by searching Ben's One.
And there you have it.
I have to admit.
Clarification, something.
Wow, what a nightmare this would be if upheld.
Yeah, and for those who think, oh, it's not possible, the Supreme Court could never do that.
Well,
they regulate the amount of water that can be flushed down your toilets.
Yeah,
they regulate
that
you buy health
true.
Insurance from the government if you're not insured. And if you don't buy it from them, they can take the money out of your bank account, even if you don't need health care. They can regulate that you can't use cash in Louisiana.
Well, that was a state – was that not a state issue, though? But nonetheless.
They say you can't feed the homeless. They say – you know, it's illegal to have Bible studies.
But how would
your house.
Even enforce this, folks?
It's legal for government Nazis to sexually molest you, and you have to shut up and take it.
Yeah.
So this
true.
Is much less severe than that. And
but we, okay, so if this does come to pass, I can't even imagine. I can't, folks. Can you imagine? What a nightmare! No. I cannot see.
I can see it.
Oh,
October
man.
29th.
Is when what?
Their rule, apparently, according to that video. That's what he said at the end of the video. We will find out on October 29th when they rule.
Okay, because all I heard, you know, after the first explanation was just white noise in my own head there, you know, short-circuiting. Well, okay, so there we have this a potential restriction on selling reselling items that we have.
Right. I mean, imagine...
Well, you know what you can do? For example, if you know the tire of a car is made in Dayton, Ohio, you can say, look, I'm going to sell you this tire for $17,000, and I'm going to give you the rest free. But, I don't know if that would work.
No, that's a good point. That's a good tactic. But you're right. I don't know if it would work. The IRS... Between the expansion of the IRS, DHS, TSA, all these agencies that are being used to enforce the encroachments of our rights and civil liberties, it's just terrifying to know that we are going to be looking over our shoulders. America is dead. The Republic of America is dead. The Constitution has been changed. Obama promised change. He continued the change, only more radically, that which was started by Bush with the
well, it didn't start with Bush. It was
with
quite a long time ago, but
security.
It accelerated.
And
but,
the executive order.
That's right. But I'm going to tell you something right here, right now, today, at this hour, at this time. We as watchmen not only will warn everyone and keep people informed, but we are going to do our level best to get our country back.
Yeah. And well, that not being the most important thing, I wish we could go back to the days of old. I don't see it happening. I just think America's dead. I'm not saying we can't try, and we shouldn't try, but our number one priority should be growing in the Lord sharing the blessings of the Lord with others. Because without that, we have nothing. And
I agree. You know, I totally agree with you.
I want to thank each and every one of you for listening tonight. The show went so quick. We will see you here tomorrow at the same time. God bless you all and have a great night and stay safe.
Good night, everyone.